Oh. Go back to people's clothes, huh? Oh, hey, Bruce. Do me a favor. Give me a bottle of water out of the
Hi, container. Sandy.
You want water? No. Please, pretty please.
Can you hear me?
I forgot it.
Thank you.
Huh? Oh. Somebody's coming. Who is this lady? You got a beautiful tan. I can't sit in the sun like I used to. Yeah.
Fire is that meeting for April 1st? For June
1st? Yeah.
Cancel it.
Cancel it?
You can't do the vote for the budget at a special or emergency meeting.
You can't do it what?
You can't have a vote for the budget at a special or a emergency meeting. So it'll have to be the first meeting in June.
Okay.
Okay.
But they did it before, right? All of a sudden,
not, I had a resident show me that the budget cannot be voted on it.
Okay.
In the
Oh, it's the binder.
Hello, hello. Thank you.
bring the copies we need.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You think we're going to need more police? Oh, you can go and be in there.
That's right, really stone cold shredding.
Oh, the AC.
Helen Ferguson. Helen Ferguson. Can you hear me in the back? Thank you.
Good evening. Everybody's getting around and talking. Are y'all having fun out there right now? Good, I hope.
I dropped it down to a two-stage, three-time. And they find also some of the air ducts and vents are big enough, but really the pool room are going to be bigger. The door. There already is. I don't know how much metal is used.
Bruce wants to know if you can clean.
Yeah, we've got a new one. Oh, shoot. I didn't check my mail.
I have no idea.
Becky, I got my shirt on. You notice when I don't have it on. It's hot as all places. You forgot to tell me that, didn't you?
Forget it.
I am burning up. My God. This be the only time you've seen me. It's too damn hot. My God. Why don't we have somebody turn the air on?
Talking about
we can do is wait now. I said all we can do is wait now.
I think so.
All right, I got
I'll give you the key to my house to get me a different shirt.
Jesus. Parking that are throwing screws and stuff in that guy's dog. She doesn't even live here. They were gone. She doesn't live
here. They're on the fan behind you.
Yeah. We come by. Yeah.
Okay, it's going to blow up on the ceiling. Okay, that'd be good.
Yeah, they
thank
did.
You. No. Maybe yeah, that was. Will give me some air.
So drunk. Lay down on that property. Nothing was hit from the late to the downtown. That's a never explained. But yeah.
Hi.
I don't know.
How are
I'm
you?
Afraid that they're going to sling some screws and stuff like that because it was full. I'm going to be full of this
thing. Yeah. I got it. Thank you.
Is that the same one we proposed before?
The one that I worked on.
No, we're doing the job description.
This one. It's one page.
I did not get one.
Like this? Is it the one page? Okay. I got it.
Yep. Get what I do with it.
What do we got? Bed quote. May 23rd. Employment law.
Are we voting on this tonight?
I'm hoping to, yeah.
Yes.
Excuse me. There's no address or phone number in that letterhead, ma'am. Okay.
They look pretty. Almost ready. Oh, my God.
I see.
Oh. Mark, who did this?
Who? Engagement people have worked on it from the beginning. Myself, Barry Moore, and Karen. We all sat down and went through this against our deed restriction. So that we could see that this didn't, that they both coincided, that they didn't, one didn't want something different than what we did.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Well, good evening. Thank you all for coming tonight. It's a busy night, so we have a lot on the agenda. Port Malabar Holiday Park, Mobile Home Park Recreation District, Board of Trustees, workshop meeting agenda, May the 23rd, 7 p.m. I call this meeting to order. Bow your heads.
Oh my God. Dear Lord, Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Now help us to start this meeting with a good attitude and plenty of gratitude for all we have. Help us to make the best of each and every day, and help us to clear our minds so we can make good decisions for our park. Please watch over our military and first responders wherever they are and bring them home safe. Please bless this board, all our families, our friends, and our homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We will pledge. Roll call, please.
Carrie Allen.
Present.
Joan Ocnero. Present. David Curtis. Present. Mark Boda.
Present.
Kathy Stone.
Present.
Gary Vincent.
Present.
Ernest.
Present.
Ursula Brunet.
Present.
Everyone's present.
Thank you. Chairman's announcements. By us having our special meetings, we did the agenda before we had all the information that we had from our special meetings. So this has been added to it. We received a letter, so we have a copy that will be read. A fine system, the budget, spectrum, air condition. I don't know, is Ron Foot here? Okay. ACC, Ron Foot be installed. Fill vacancies, need motions, certificates, Diane Bell and Bruce, and applications for registrations. All of these will be adding into with our agenda.
Madam Chair, can I ask you to read through them again, please? I can't write that fast.
What did you say? I'm sorry. Okay. Would you repeat what you said, Becky?
I asked her to repeat the list.
Okay. Receiving the letter, fine system,
yep.
Budget, spectrum, air condition, ACC to install Ron Foote, fill vacancies, need motions for that, certificates, Diane Bell and Bruce, and applications for registration.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Correspondent. Joan, you'd like to read the correspondent?
Yeah. I have a couple.
I got it. You didn't hear me at all? So sorry. Did anyone else not hear? Okay.
Our first correspondent is Kathy Stone, has passed the four-hour ethics and public records and sunshine law. She's the third board member to do that. The second one I have is Dream Docs raised the price of their demo on the existing bridge from $1,100 to $3,000. So we're going to look for some more proposals on that one. I've got a letter here from Keith Richer. It says, I have been honored to serve on the board for several years and would like to thank everyone I have worked with. I wish only for the best for the board and the park as always. However, at this time, to start immediately, I submit my resignation from the board. And that was dated May 10th. Keith. And we're going to do
the old Diane. Treasurer.
What? We're going to do this one later, so I'm not going to read that one.
Okay. Which one are you talking about?
Diane and Bruce. Oh. And that was it.
No. Beth, this one has to be read.
Microphone.
Microphone. Just a second, please. Okay, here we go.
I was just handed this correspondence when I was sitting here about 2 minutes of seven. So I haven't read the whole thing yet. It's dated May 18th, and I don't understand why I'm just getting it today.
Because I just got it today.
Okay, it's addressed to Ms. Karen Allen. I have been retained by Cherie Morris in retaliation to her termination from Port Malabar Holiday Park. Please contact me and not my client directly in relationship to this issue. If Port Malabar Holiday Park is represented by legal counsel, please forward this letter to him or her immediately. These are the facts as relayed to me by my client and a review of documents she provided. Ms. Mars has worked as the district manager for Port Malabar Holiday Park for the last 5 years. At the May 24th, 2021 workshop meeting, the board approved the budget that included reimbursement for Ms. Morris's health insurance. When Ms. Morris became eligible for Medicare this year, she lowered the amount of her reimbursement to reflect the premium she was paying for Medicare. This would save the district between $6,000 and $7,000 yearly. Instead of being grateful for her for these savings, Ms. Morris was accused of embezzling money. On April 11th, 2022, Gary Vincent moved to terminate her employment, which passed by a vote of 3-2. What the board may not be aware of is that since he became a resident of the park in the spring of 2021, Mr. Vincent has been making advances towards Ms. Morris. Mr. Vincent regularly came to the office buying Ms. Morris cupcakes and donuts and telling her how pretty she was while trying to hug her. After Mr. Vincent made numerous comments about Miss Morris's clothing and tell her how jealous his wife is of them, Miss Morris began entering the building from the kitchen in order to avoid him. However, the praises and hugs and gestures still continued. At one point, Mr. Vincent told Miss Morris he had purchased her several hundred dollars worth of gift cards for her and would do anything to support her. Mr. Vincent's wife found out about this and believed he was having an affair with Miss Morris. Miss Vincent threatened to divorce her husband if he didn't quit the board. Since Mr. Vincent did not want to leave the board, and in retaliation for Miss Morris's refusal of his persistent advances, Mr. Vincent moved for her termination. Miss Morris can file a charge of discrimination for both sexual harassment and retaliation. And upon receipt of a right to sue notice, she can pursue litigation in federal court. In lieu of doing this, Ms. Morris has authorized me to attempt to settle this matter. At this time, she is willing to accept 6 months of severance to resolve all claims. This offer will stay open until May, no date, 2022. If we do not receive a response by that date, we will proceed accordingly. While I realize that the district is subject to the Sunshine Laws, since this letter may not lead to the resolution, but rather to litigation, you are formally put on notice not to destroy, conceal, or alter any paper records or electronically stored information within the possession or control, such as computer files and digital information of all kinds that relate or pertain to the claims alleged in this letter. If there is anything you would like to discuss concerning this matter, please contact me. And it says sincerely, Beth Koch.
With that letter, my response was, we have received a letter sent from Cherie Morris's attorney. At this time, the board should be made aware of it. This matter has been turned over to the park attorney. That's it. Thank you, Jim.
Chairman?
Yes.
Would it be proper if I were to make a comment or anything?
No. It goes to the attorney and then we're just leaving them.
No comments?
When that time comes, then we will have to have a hearing.
Okay, so Stacy Vincent, 1111 Seminole Court. I am Gary Vincent's wife of 43 years, and that is a bunch of malarkey. I know people don't really like that word right now, but it is. And I'm going to tell you all a few things about that. Isn't it considered retaliation when an employee comes with charges after they've been terminated for giving themselves a raise? And I cannot believe my husband can't say anything about this. If there is going to be something that is going to happen as far as litigation goes, excuse me, my husband should be able to make a comment on his behalf. And I don't really care what you say, Kay.
I don't care either, but I'm completely inappropriate.
When did you say you got that letter?
I'm telling you.
When did that letter come?
What?
When did you get that letter?
This morning.
When did you get the other lawyer letter? Why aren't trustees getting information in their boxes?
I have one attorney letter.
You needed to hear that.
That's the only letter I have received.
And I did send a respond to the attorney.
I have a question.
I cannot talk about it if we're going to be in a lawsuit with it. So I have nothing. This.
Go to the next. Go to the next.
Come on, we're moving on. No. We have to move on. You got. It's not. Come on, folks.
I'm going to make a comment, Chair. I am going to fight these false charges. I will be getting attorney. I will be countersuing her and get reimbursed for my attorney fees when I win. This is an outrageous bunch of, no, I don't want to say. I shouldn't say.
I know, Gary, but I can't do anything about that. And that's why we have attorneys. And this is what we're doing.
So I was warned as I left the meeting on April 11th, she's going to come after the park. She's going to come after you. I said,
that's it, Gary. That's enough.
This is what we got.
This is what we're doing. We are filling the vacancies. Ursel, this is not, if it's about the letter, forget it. Because I have nothing to tell you about the letter. This is what it says. This is how I responded to the attorney. He's got the stuff. He will get back with us and tell us how we are going to beat this. Okay?
No.
No, not on the ladder, please. This is strictly this. Now we're going to go. Please, that's an Ursel, that's enough. We're going to do vacancies. The assistant, we need an assistant secretary. I need a nomination.
No, I make a motion to nominate.
That's enough, folks. Thank you.
I make a motion to nominate Kathy Stone for assistant secretary. Excuse me a minute, but we do need an assistant secretary, but if you read in our own bylaws, it says that if an office of any member of the Board of Trustees becomes vacant prior to the expiration of such member's term of office, the Board of Trustees shall fill the vacancy by majority vote of the remaining trustees.
That's what we're doing.
That's
no.
Joan, wait a minute.
Chairman, and the vacancy was
Joan. Excuse me. That's for a board position. It has nothing to do with the chairs that we hold. That is about your position as a trustee.
Right. Well, what do you think chairman is? Chairman is the position of the trustee. It was the chairman's position that was vacated. It was the treasurer's position.
You don't reorganize all the chairs in the middle of a year.
We're not a reorganizing.
And there's no reason why we can't have a reorganization meeting. You can schedule a special meeting anytime you need it.
I believe we've got to catch up on a couple of votes. As she's pointed out, we filled three seats and we didn't vote on any of them. Perhaps we need to. The chair, if we got to vote on these advancements, which I personally don't believe we need to vote. I believe Kay was automatically the chair when Rick Brook resigned.
No, that's
okay,
not
if
what
not,
our bylaws
we need to vote.
Say. Our bylaws say we've got to vote on the vacant position. We are doing the assistant secretary at the present time.
Patty Peck, 1014 Willow. You are voted to a position on the board, not a job. Okay. Once you get on the board, the reorganization does the job. You are just voted on there as a position as a board member.
What should we do with vacancies that are like treasurer, chair? Those two have been filled.
They're automatically filled okay. In with the next person in line.
So,
if you want somebody to be an assistant treasurer, an assistant secretary, you can appoint them.
Does that apply to me too? Because I've been in the
no.
second chair.
No, it does not.
Doesn't apply to me.
No, it does not. You came
Why
in
not?
As a second. You
Why
don't move
he
up.
Automate?
No, no, that leaves that job. But the chairman and the treasurer, they had to move up because those jobs have to be filled.
Don't they just move up temporarily until we vote on it?
No, no. No.
So second chair is the only one that doesn't?
No, none of the others. I mean, the secretary, if there are certain positions that have to be filled. And so if there's an assistant that moves in, Rick's assistant was first vice chair. She moved in. He was assistant treasurer. The treasurer's position, he's got to move in. But now you just have to fill the assistant. Okay.
Well,
and
not
those
exactly,
are by appointment.
Patty, because
and maybe first year we should fill.
And the first chair. Okay. It's not needed. Okay.
Can we fill it though?
Absolutely.
First
it's
vice
a position.
Chair.
Okay. It's not a board position. It's a job. It's a job.
I think it's pretty clear in here though that we have to vote on it. That we have to vote.
You're voting for that person to be a job, okay. not a person on the board. You're voting for the job. They're already on the board. You're voting for a job.
Well, shouldn't we
vote? So we are going for the assistant secretary.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I need...
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Seats on the board are filled by a majority vote of the board, which we have done several times. When the chairman resigns, just like when the treasurer resigns, those two people have to move up. That's a given. Okay. If you remember right, last year I stood up at least three times and said...
Bruce, I couldn't find that
Let me finish speaking. I stood up at least three times and said, we do not have an assistant treasurer and we do not have an assistant secretary. You heard me say that several times. God forbid somebody should drop dead. We wouldn't have a treasurer. Okay?
Correct.
So now we have people on the board. We have to fill the empty seats with officers.
I couldn't find it in Robert's Rules of Order.
I need a second, please.
Bruce, quick question before we proceed. Because I agree with you. Shouldn't we fill these seats in the order that we filled them originally? Like first chair should be the first vote we do? First vice chair? Rather than starting with assistant secretary?
That's up to the board.
Make a difference to you, Gary?
That's up to the board. But, okay. Wait. You listen. The officers of our park are the secretary, chairman, trustee, whatever. Mm-hmm. You have been given a job. That is your job. Until you resign from that job, you are that job. So you are now secretary. If you want to fill another seat, you got to resign. Okay. The secretary.
Okay.
All right. Now, what do you want? Yes, ma'am.
He already has an office.
I would decline that.
He has a job. He is the second vice chair.
It was just explained to us that I am a second, so I don't move up automatically.
Okay. Can we please, Ursel?
But I will make a different nomination if that's permissible.
Please. If everybody would shut up, we might hear Gary what he wants to say.
I would like to make a motion that we appoint Dave Curtis to first vice chair. I nominate him.
I'll second that.
Madam Chairman, Carol Summers, 1143 Greenview Court. I understand what you just did, and you did a very fine job of doing that. However, you currently have a motion on the floor from Becky Ernest for assistant secretary. That motion should either be rescinded or seconded and moved on for. You can't have two open motions on the floor. The arguing that's going on, ladies and gentlemen, is not accomplishing a damn thing. Excuse Thank my you. Language. I'm sick and tired of this BS. It's got to stop. We cannot conduct our business like this any longer, ladies and gentlemen. This is a professional meeting, even if we are just volunteers. We need to have respect for the people back here, and the people back here need to have respect for the people up here. You may not like the job they're doing. They may not be doing the best job. They may not be doing the right job, but at least they're trying. I don't like everything that happens. I don't like everything that's getting said, but we owe you the respect. So let's share it amongst ourselves. You respect us, we'll respect you. It goes both ways.
Can I ask Enough a quick
stated
question?
On that. I apologize for being upset, but this is making my blood boil to the point where I want to smack every one of you because you're acting like three-year-olds and you deserve a spanking. I'm sorry. It's time to act like adults and remember that this is a professional meeting. I've said my piece. I apologize for insulting any of you. But Becky's got to go first. She made her motion. It needs to be seconded or rescinded. And then the next one can go on. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol. Okay. It's been moved and seconded by Becky.
Who seconded it?
Hmm? I made a motion.
Who made a second?
We need a second.
Oh, we need a second. I need a second
for Assistant Secretary.
I'll repeat the motion. The motion was that I nominated Kathy Stone as Assistant Secretary.
I second
it. Dave Curtis already seconded it.
Does Kathy accept?
Yes, I'll accept.
Thank you very much, Kathy.
We need to vote on it.
We would have everybody that would like to vote. Please raise your hand for yes.
You get to
vote.
Okay. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you for accepting.
Was that 8 yes?
8-4.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Assistant Treasurer.
I'd like to nominate Dave Curtis for Assistant Treasurer. Dave Curtis.
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded, Dave Curtis, Assistant Treasurer.
I do not accept.
What?
I do not accept.
Okay. All right. We need Assistant Treasurer. No nominations? Okay. First chair? I need a nomination for first chair.
I nominate David Curtis for first chair.
I second.
I accept.
Okay. Is there any others? Everybody in favor? Pose. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Okay.
For the record,
now we need Assistant Treasurer
yes
yet.
And zero no.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I had to put it on the tape that it was 8 yes and zero no.
Okay, now I need Assistant Treasurer. I need a nomination.
I nominate Ursula. Me. I nominated you.
Need a second? Well, I don't have a second yet. I need a second. Anybody? No seconds.
I will second for Ursula to be the Assistant Treasurer.
Okay, we have a second. Everybody in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Thank you, Ursula.
That was 8 yes and 0 no.
Okay, now we need the approval of our meetings on 5/9/22.
I make a motion that we accept the meetings from May 9th, 2022.
I'll second.
It's been moved and second. We accept the minutes. Any discussion?
Yes.
Do you have anything?
This is in those minutes, approval of the 4/25/22 workshop meeting minutes was tabled for corrections. So those meetings, those minutes also have to be approved. Say, I just wanted to make a note.
Gary, or Larry. Mark, would you say that again? I'm sorry, I couldn't understand it.
In the May 9th, 2022 meeting minutes, the approval of the April 25th, 2022 minutes was tabled for corrections. It was not voted on and approved.
Okay.
So aside from that, we can vote on the May 9th, but then we also need to vote on the April 25th.
Okay. So we can vote on the 9th. Anybody? Everybody in favor of the 9th minutes? Okay, motion carried. Okay.
8 yes, 0 no.
May the 25th, April the 25th minutes.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of April 25th.
It has been approved. Do we need a second?
I second.
Been moved and approved that we accept them. Everybody in discussion? Nobody? Everybody in favor, raise your hands. Motion carried. Thank you.
That was 8 yes, 0 no.
Treasurer's report.
Treasurer's report for this month. At the next meetings, we hope to have the treasurer's report up on the board. We have ordered a new laptop computer to help us accomplish that. It hasn't come in yet, but as of the next meeting or the next treasurer's report, we plan to have it up on the board so everybody can see it. In March, our total income was $101,476. Our expenses were $87,213. Net ordinary income came out to $14,263. So year to date, we've had a total income of $1,267,564. Our anticipated income was $63,244. 6 months is 50% of the budget. We've actually met 95.2% of the budget. As Keith has said in the past, we normally get the majority of our budget up front. Our total expenses year to date has been $822,978. Our anticipated expenses was $507,830. For expenses, the percent of budget met is 61.8%. The balance of our liquid assets is $1,588,877. That number comes from what is in the reserve funds with the anticipated income added in and the anticipated expenses taken out. That leaves us a reserve fund, which is the monies that are in our TD Bank account, of $1,144,291. In the future, when we do put this up on the board, we will also put the monthly budgeted report up on the board so people can see what we spent, where we spent it, what our percentages are, how much we've gone over, how much we're under. I apologize for not having that this time. In the future, we hope to have that posted also, so if people have questions, they can get answers. And if I can't answer them at that meeting, I will get answers and I will bring the answers to the next meeting. Are there any questions on the report? Again, I apologize for not putting it up on the board.
I'll make a motion that we file this report for audit.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded this report be filed for audit. Everybody in favor? Opposed? Motion carried.
I didn't get who made the motion and who seconded it.
I did. Made the motion.
Okay.
No second.
I made a motion to approve the...
Okay, I'm just going to remind everybody again, anything said at a public meeting has to be said into the mic for the residents to hear. It has to be clear.
Okay, now the budget.
All right, so the proposed budget for the 22-23 fiscal year, the way this budget is figured out is they have a program and they look at the budget last year from October to March of this year, and they come up with a value. Then they take that and they annualize it to the end of the fiscal year, which would be the end of September. And that brings up another number. From that number, the district manager, now treasurer, makes a decision as to what is going to be proposed in the 22-23 budget. I'm going to read over. I didn't change a lot of things. There are some things I did change, some things that the residents need to be made aware of. In that budget, the annual assessment of $2,297 monthly would be $191.43. This is up $320 from last year. It's up $200 since fiscal year 2016. Preceding 2016, assessment fees were going up $100 a year. The reason for raising these fees is that we want to establish reserve funds, and we need to put those funds into the reserves out of our operating budget. So we need to start bringing in more money to help fund what we have in reserves to take care of roads and drains, the swimming pools, the clubhouse, the guard shack. I don't have the policy for the reserves yet. I hope to have that ready at the next meeting and the amounts that we will have in the reserves. But we also need to start funding those because we're going to start using monies out of that to start affecting repairs in the clubhouse and the guard shack and other places, such as the kitchen. We voted a couple meetings ago to redo the air conditioning in the card room and the pool room. Those are going to be contained in reserve accounts because they are not normal operating expenses. So I hope to have that the next meeting. As we come down here, I have added training for the board of $1,000. Every board member should be taking the Ethics, Public Records, and Sunshine Law course provided by the Florida State University. I believe that is a requirement now, as of the beginning of this year, that every board member take that course.
It's a requirement annually.
Correct, annually. I'm sorry. When we get to the payroll for executive, last year they had 82,000. Sheree was actually making a little over 74,000. For this year, they had budgeted 100,000. I've changed that. I've made it 70,000. I believe that we can get a district manager for less. However, if through the services we're using, we can't find somebody for that, I wanted to have enough in the budget that we had some room. As of the end of this month, Holiday Park can no longer offer group insurance to our full-time employees. That puts us kind of between a rock and a hard spot. We can't put that on the budget. I've had several discussions with different people in the park. In our policy manual, and the board has voted that we would supply 100% of insurance for our regular 40-hour employees. There's enough monies in the budget to take care of the two full-time employees that are currently being covered until the end of our fiscal year, which is October, or the end of September. For the proposed budget, I have only put in bonus under executive, custodial, grounds, and gate. The monies in there would be used, they would have to go into the employee's paycheck and come out of the employee's paycheck to pay for their insurance. I've only done this because the board has not had time to look over the budget yet and look at these and come up with a means of funding the insurance, because we can't have it listed as insurance on this budget. So I'm going to need the board's help with that. The idea of the employees have to go to the marketplace. So there's different levels of insurance. It might be silver, gold, platinum, and the board decides we'd be willing to pay whatever the cost is for the silver plan, or whatever the cost is for the gold plan, or whatever the cost is for the platinum. Giving these monies to the employee, just so everybody knows, the employee does not have to tell us what their insurance is. The employee does not have to spend those monies on insurance. Just so everybody's aware of the situation that we're in. And like I've said, currently, I've left the number in the budget that was calculated for the proposed budget, but it needs to be discussed, and we can only discuss it at a meeting. One of the items that in the budget, so for the new Spectrum contract, when I got the budget, he had already budgeted for the new service that would have been $57 a month per unit in the park. That's what's currently in the budget. Since the special meeting, we have decided that we would like Chase and Gil to go out and work on our behalf to see if there's other options available, to see if we can't get that value down. I don't know how many people attended the meeting. He believes he can get that value down a decent amount of money. I've left the number in the budget the way it was. My other consideration would be changing that and just making it the 5% that it's going to go up if we do nothing. Another big ticket item is when we hire a new employee, we go through Manpower or another service. Those services charge us probably 50 to 70% more than what we would pay that employee. So when you look at the spreadsheet, when you see temporary services, that number reflects the money we're paying to Manpower for employees that they give us before whatever time period is they're here, and we hire them on as our employee. That was not in the last budget. That wasn't calculated in the budget. I would hope that in the future, we maybe wouldn't have to use manpower services, that we would have a district manager that could look at the hiring of employees for the park and do that through publications and not have to use an outside service to bring these people in. So those are added expenses right now that are in the budget, because we know we are going to have to hire, and we know that right now we're going through manpower. The last thing is at the very end, it has reserve outlay for buildings and improvements, infrastructure, furniture, fixture, and equipment. In each of those, I've put $15,000. Those are monies that the budget is going to bring in that is going to go into the reserve accounts to build reserve accounts up and maintain the reserve accounts for the work that we want to do in the park. It's hard for me to talk anymore on it because you don't have it in front of you, and I apologize for that. And I'll open it up now to the trustees if they have. I don't know if you got a copy of this budget. If you did, if you have questions or comments.
I have two questions, Mark. One is...
you got to speak into the mic.
We spend $600 a year on flags. What kind of flags? The what?
They are probably the highest quality that we can get, and they are going to be more expensive. The only flags I know of right now is the flag we have in here and the flag we fly out by the gatehouse.
Okay.
Okay.
And the other one that was kind of a concern for me is we only have $150 for truck repairs.
For what?
For truck repairs, vehicle repairs. It just didn't seem like enough. I mean, you can hardly buy a tire for that if anything went wrong with the...
Okay, I can look closer at those and I can adjust those. I know that the last budget, it ended up we were paying... like we were 360% of budget or something like that. And it's because the truck went in for repairs. So we don't expect that we're going to have to do repairs on the truck. I think it was more looking at what was the gas going to be for the truck, but I can raise that amount. And as far as the flags, I will look at the flags and look to see what it would cost to buy a couple flags and adjust the budget for that.
Okay.
Gary.
You mentioned you put in under bonus for admin and gate employee a bonus amount that would be added to their payroll so that they could still get 100% coverage, or 100% of their insurance would be paid for by the park. We have two employees, so one of them, $14,000. Is that going to translate into literally a $14,000 payroll increase?
I don't expect it to be that much.
Okay.
When we did it for, when we sat down with the insurance representative,
sure,
Derek's ended up being much less than okay. What we expected.
And we might, they may also qualify for the federal subsidy if they go on the ACA. So it might come down some more.
Well, they get a, I forget the term. They get like a credit through the federal government to help pay for their insurance. So that's taken in effect. I just don't know what the values are. So I left it the way it was based on what was figured in from the previous year. And those can be adjusted and will be adjusted, because if it goes into their pay, then they're going to pay taxes. And that's how it has to.
Right. And we have matching payroll taxes too.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks for explaining that and adjusting that district manager salary down $30,000. I think that's a little more reasonable. Thanks a lot. Excellent job.
Ursula was up first. Did you have something? Ursula? Okay. Becky?
It went in and out. It went in and out.
Dave. I did get some correspondence from other people in the park that have said, why do we have the spectrum bill where it's at? Like I said, I can change that. I can put it back down to the 5% of what it should be. I just need input before I go ahead and do that. If that's what the board would rather do, we can do that.
I do remember my question. Do we pay workers' comp and taxes and everything when it's paid out as a bonus?
Yes.
Thank you.
It would be the same. So they take out their federal and their Medicare or Social Security, right, and those come out to a value. The employee pays half. The park pays half for those insurances.
Okay. Did you increase the employees' pay? I didn't hear what percentage.
All the employees' pay is figured at a 3% pay raise.
Is that all?
Yes. And that's only because when they do the budget and when they've done the budget in past years, it comes up, it just automatically looks at 3%. Now, the board can change that, and the board can... My understanding of federal law is that minimum wage has to be at $15 by the year 2026. Now, don't quote me on that. I've heard numbers thrown out, but I believe it's by 2026. All employees have to be at a minimum wage of $15.
State law.
State, okay.
Florida state law.
Okay. So as of right now, and in years past, we've done a 3% increase, or if the board came back and said, look, I'll use an L. AJ have a job out there. He comes in prepared for work every day. He does his job. He has a smile on his face. He's great with the residents of the park. I think we should give him more than a 3% raise. I think we should give him this set raise. The board can do that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just that as a guideline, we put 3%
right
in the budget.
I know it's a guideline. I just know that how hard we've been working trying to get people to come and work. And like you say, from power and all like those, they're $18 just to start out with. Our guys don't even make that kind of money. And, you know, they don't want to come and work. So our guys are doubling over and doing different shifts. And I don't know if you've noticed how many times they're really working overtime, different areas. And it really isn't fair. We need something so we can get some employees to come in here to work so they can at least get a day off.
And it was my understanding before I came on the board that we did not pay overtime. That was my understanding before I came on the board.
I didn't know that.
And now we don't have a choice because we can't get the new employees to come in, or they come in and they're here for a week or two. And then they say, well, this is for the money we're paying them. This is too hard. So I can see both sides, but it's something that's going to have to be discussed so that we come up with a value. So the budget has to be, we have to vote on this budget the next meeting.
Well, maybe we need to, consider at least paying them overtime until we can get things straightened
out.
Well,
no, you have to.
Yeah.
Anything they work over, you have to pay them the overtime. I'm just...
Because they're going to walk out and leave us nothing.
No, I'm saying we have to pay them. I'm just... In the past...
Okay.
It was my understanding we didn't do that. We don't have a choice. If they work over, they get paid.
Oh, good. I don't want to lose these guys. They're all too hard of workers. And... Thank you, Mark. You've done an excellent
Dave.
Job.
Dave.
It was brought up to me overtime at regular wage.
No,
that is not true.
Okay, no, that's what I'm saying.
If somebody works overtime, they will get paid time and a half for any hours over 40.
There's so many rumors running around, you can't tell what's real and what isn't right now.
The law is the law.
Gary?
Earlier, did you say it costs us 50 to 70% more to pay for an employee through manpower?
Through manpower, I'm guessing it's probably 50% to 70% more.
So
when I go through manpower, you go through payroll and each employee, you go through their time and you go through their pay. When you get to the employees that we're getting right now through manpower, they're, so say the regular employee is getting $15 an hour. Mm-hmm. They're getting $20 to $30 an hour because we're paying not only that, but we're also paying manpower to provide them to us.
That's right.
As a service.
Right.
Sounds like overtime's a little bit cheaper than manpower. Maybe there's some of our current staff who are part-time. Maybe they could work.
I understand
more
that. However, you may have employees that don't want to work the overtime. So that's kind of a fine line. We need to bring people in that are going to stay with the park and work for the park. And we do need to pay them a decent wage.
Okay. Carol.
Carol Summers, 1143 Greenview Court. On the manpower issue, I discussed this with Ms. Allen when I filled in the office. One of the problems that we're having getting our employees from manpower is that manpower did say we paid too low a wage. They wanted us to increase our wages. They really didn't want to send anybody to us again because we weren't paying high enough. So that was an issue, and that may be one of the reasons why we can't get people now. So that is a concern that we have. The last thing, Mark, the Spectrum contract, because it has been negated and we're not doing that, I would like to see the board consider bringing that fee back down to the 5%. And then maybe adding a little extra, because when Mr. Gill was here, he did say it would be 3 to 6 months before he could even present us with the possible quote. And then if we had to bring in new fiber optics, another 6 months or so for them to lay the optics potentially. So we could be looking at a year before we even have a new program in the park. So I wouldn't budget that Spectrum amount. I think I would budget the 5% and then maybe add another 3 just to be a little safe to cover in case we do get something in. But I don't think you need to do the whole $57. I would bring that down within.
Understand.
That way, if you had a little more wiggle room, you could wiggle it around that pay increase that we may need to consider to do and the fees for getting manpower or someone else in.
Are you suggesting that we don't include the internet extra? That
no, sir. No, sir. Our Spectrum bill that we have right now does not expire until December of 2023. So we already know, plain and simple, but whether we do nothing or not, that's going to go up 5% because that was the contract that we had. So I think what we should take would be what we had last year and up it the 5%, but don't up it to the $55 that we had. Right. Take the new contract amount because that new contract is null and void. It's not here. We don't have it on the board anymore. It's gone.
And it doesn't take effect till calendar year 2024.
Well, it would depend on what Mr. Gill does. But Mr. Gill told us in his meeting when he was here that it would take at least 4 to 6 months before he could come back to us with a viable quote. Just quotes, not even contracts, just quotes and bids. And then if new cable had to be laid, because these are all fiber optic companies that he's talking about dealing with, it would take 6 months for them to lay that. So it could be potentially a year before we have anything new in our park. So we can't budget for something we don't know we have because we have no idea what it's going to be.
So what you're suggesting is raise the Spectrum 7%.
Yeah, 7%. That way we have the guaranteed 5% that we know we have to pay regardless. But then if we get a new contract, we have a little wiggle room to work with that contract.
Okay.
So you can reduce that and that probably could balance your budget a little better.
I'm fine with that.
That sounds good. Thanks, Carol.
Please, I'm going to say something.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who comes to the mic, how many times they come to the mic, whether you like what they have to say or you don't like what they have to say. Please keep those responses
inside. Everybody is due respect.
Thank you.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I agree with Carol. I think the 7% is a good idea. Because if we're looking 7 or 8 or 9 months down the road, by then you'll be into the next year's budget anyways. About the pay for our employees, I think the last major increase we had for employees was maybe 4 years ago or 5 years ago, when Bob Shortledge and they had to hire the new grounds crew person, supervisor. And at that meeting, he and I both stood up and said, we have got to pay more money or we're not going to get people. And I think we gave some of the employees like $2 an hour more at that time. I think we need to reevaluate our pay schedule. I hope we have a copy in the office. I think I got one at home. And I think we're going to have to increase our pay to our employees. We need to keep our employees. And we need to find new employees. We only have 2 custodians right now. So come on, folks. We're going to have to go and pay a little bit more money to get quality people. Whether it hurts or not, we're going to have to pay them more money.
Thank you. Okay.
David Kern, Shell Court. So I've run a lot of different businesses with a lot of different employees.
Can you try to speak in the mic, please?
So what I did with all of my employees was I ran them through a payroll leasing company. I had anywhere from 12 to 25 employees during the year. That takes care of the workers' comp, takes care of all their insurance because they're on a big plan, because they have so many employees. They are not actually your employees, but they play by your rules. And just like with Sheree, if you fire them, they cannot come back on you because they are not your employee. They are a leased employee, and it saves you a ton of money on workers' comp. So it's something to look into.
I agree on that. It does save a lot of money.
Stay up in the mic a second.
Okay. They're having trouble hearing you.
I think what I heard you say was there are companies out there that lease employees.
Yes, they lease the employees to you. They take care of their taxes. They also offer them insurance because they have such a big pool of employees. They get discount rates on insurance. They are not your employees. They're paid by that company. They work for you. And like I said, if you fire them, they cannot come back on you because they were never your employees in the first place. They're leased. They cover their workers' comp. It drops your workers' comp prices immensely.
And where's this at?
Isn't that the same thing as manpower?
No, manpower just gives you the cheapest employees they can for the most amount of money. That is just nothing but a ripoff.
Okay. Do you know the name of the company?
There are several companies, and it is a very good idea, but I think most of them require a minimum of so many employees. I don't know how many.
Yeah.
But it changed. I don't know. It might have changed in the last few. Can't hear you.
Go ahead.
But it's good because they can't hold us liable if something happens to an employee.
Okay, Karen. Karen Foote, 214 Holiday Park. I'm just going to let you know what, just to reiterate what Mark said about the insurance. The people in the park that had insurance, they go and talk to the insurance people now. They have to get their own insurance. They get almost a $500 tax credit towards their insurance. So that would be our basic employer. Employee would get $500 from the federal government to get insurance. So the minimum amount that an employee would have to pay a month is $90 a month. So that's how much money we're going to be saving for insurance for our employees. So you're going to save a lot of money that's been put away in the budget. I mean, Sheree was $1,700 a month for insurance. Now it's going to be $100 a month to put away for insurance. But you're also not going to get employees to work here because we don't offer insurance. So we need to look at that. Because a lot of your young kids nowadays can't, they won't come here if they don't have insurance.
Karen.
50.
Was that 500 a month tax credit?
They'll get a federal tax credit if they're single.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they'll get $500 up to $500 a month.
A month. Oh, good.
That's so they'll been increased. Only have to pay $100 a month, up to $100 a month. But if they're married, that's a whole different.
Definitely. Wow.
They'll get a different tax rate for that.
Thanks a lot for helping with this insurance thing.
No problem. Do you got any more questions? Did we answer all that, Mark? And then we do have 4 employees, right, that get dental and eye, but it's only $8 a month for them. And they can continue that, they said, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Vision,
and even the 65 and older can get dental and eye insurance for $8 a person. And that's $8 a month. And that can still continue.
Correct. That's my understanding.
Yeah, that's what they told us. Does anyone else have insurance questions?
So I think right now for what I've done with the insurance, by putting a bonus in there, that money is actually going to go, would actually go into, I expect it's going to be much, much less than the VAT, the number that I put in on the budget. I think I budgeted 14,000 for each group, gate staff, custodial, executive, administrative. In the future, I can look at that a lot closer, and once we decide how we want to handle that, that would be much less. But we're also going to be, I also expect we're going to have a turnover of employees, and we may get employees that are now going to be full-time employees that we would provide insurance for, unless we change what we're paying for the insurance.
Well, Lori told me that today she talked with the insurance person, and hers is going to be $483 a month. So,
wow. Good.
Yes, ma'am.
That's Patty excellent.
1014, Willow. I think because we don't have enough employees, we can't get the group weight.
Right.
We need to change the employee manual. You can't give 100% if they're not giving it at all. Okay. If we don't have enough employees to get it, then you've got to change the manual and what that says. So keep that in the back of your mind.
Thank you, Patty.
Anyone else? I think you did a very nice job,
well,
Mark.
I would say each of the trustees needs to get a copy. I will, tomorrow I will take and I'll make some corrections based on what we discussed now, and then have copies made for each of the trustees at the next meeting. We do need to vote on it because it needs to be voted on by June so that it can be published for the residents. And if you'd like to see what's in there before that next meeting, then come up to the office. You should be able to get a copy of it. I'm not sure. I don't know how to go about posting it on the website. So I can talk with the office staff and see once we make corrections, they can put it out on the park network, whatever it is that's out there, so that the residents can see what it is and have question, you know, get their questions answered.
Thank you. Anyone else have a question?
Are you going to adjust the budget also to follow Carol's recommendation that you just add 7% to last year's spectrum costs?
Yes.
Wow. That's $233,900 difference.
That's a wonderful thing.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks, Mark.
There's nobody tighter than Mark.
I really thought there would be more questions as to why do we have to raise it $320 from one year to the next, even though we had a raise in the assessments in a while. If that needs to change, I need to know. But like I said, any monies that we bring in, on the last page of the budget, you'll see there's a, it shows contingency expense. The contingency expense is monies of the budget that was not budgeted for something in the daily operating of the park. So that's an excess that we expect to get. And that's after we put money into
those budget into the reserve to put in our reserve accounts for future work on our major infrastructure in the clubhouse, the pools, that type of thing.
Okay, anyone else?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Karen Foote, 214 Holiday Park. Mark, as you remember, their insurance ends May 30th, 2022.
Correct.
Did you say you're going to continue to pay them
their
amount now that we know what Lori's is and Derek's is?
It'll be, right, but it would be.
Do they have to have a motion that you're going to give them bonuses for every month until October? I think you do.
Yes, I agree.
Right? Because if you guys are going to continue to pay what they're insuring, like Lori's is, you just said, four something?
483.
And Derek's is 89 or 90. That's going to be a bonus for them a month now that you guys will have to vote on because we lose the insurance on the 31st. Mm-hmm. You hear what
I would have to sit down with Lori or our accountant to get that changed so that was going into their pay. I would do that this next pay period.
If they okay,
it
right.
needs to be approved.
That needs to be.
No, voted. No, I understand. Right. I'm just, yeah.
Why don't you make that motion?
Mark, would it be possible for them to bring us their bill? Have the bill sent to them and then bring it to us, then we just pay it?
No.
Mm-mm. Can't do that. Just a thought.
So I make a motion that we offer the two employees we have full-time right now a bonus amount to cover what their insurance costs are until the end of this fiscal year.
Need a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and second. Any discussion? Everybody in favor? Raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carried.
Eight yes, zero no.
Okay. Becky, do you have
okay.
Talk loud.
We met with the Crawford Thomas Headhunter Company today. The gentleman's name was Kyle Cooper. The agreement has been signed. He hopes, after discussion, I guess we talked to him for like almost an hour, and he hopes to hopefully have some people to come back and suggest to us before the end of the week. But that's, I think that's a pie in the eye. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but we are working on it. We are going to do Zoom interviews for the first ones till we can wade through what we've got. And then it will come back to the board when we get it down to one or two or three people. So it's in process. We are working on it.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep.
More than you know. Mark, can we have the fine system? Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I like to read something from Article 7. And it says, any officer may be removed by the Board of Trustees at its discretion whenever the board deems that the best, my God, my eyes, in the best interest of the district will be served by such removal. A vacancy in any office shall be filled by the Board of Trustees for the portion of the term of such office as provided in Article 6 of these bylaws. Therefore, every meeting being a drama, I like to make a motion to remove Chairwoman Kay Allen of her position as chairwoman and put her back as trustee.
May I ask who?
What, ask what?
Nothing.
Ask me.
No.
I don't, I'm just making a comment. Ursula, I don't know that on the agenda or bring up in discussion, and then it would have to be placed on the agenda for the board to make a motion and second for the board to actually discuss and talk about it. I don't think this procedure is the right way to do that. Okay, so if that's the case, then you should have it put on the agenda, and then following the agenda, you could make the motion and then see whether or not there was a second, and then discussion and vote.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Okay.
I will do that.
Yes.
I can take this drama every 2 weeks.
Go ahead. You're part of it. Bruce Crabb, 442 Nebbia Court. We have a procedure in our bylaws for the removal of a trustee, which we did with Keith. We filed charges on Keith. We were supposed to have a hearing. He resigned, whatever.
That was a removal.
Huh?
That was a removal of a trustee completely off the board. That's not what she's
yes,
talking
about. Yes,
it is. No, she's saying remove from chair, still be a trustee. Remove from an office.
I just said.
I just want to say.
I think it's the same procedure, personally.
We this was not a part of the agenda.
You cannot make a motion at this meeting and do it.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
It has to be on the agenda. Okay. And I'm not even sure about that procedure. I know the procedure for the removal of a trustee. I don't think there's any procedure in there for removal of an officer, as far as I know.
Okay. Can't believe this.
Fine system.
Oh, fine system. Thank you, Mark.
I'm going to need to bring more water. So the ACC board, the Board of Trustees voted to remove our old fine system a couple months ago. The ACC board took it upon themselves to start looking at a better fine system. The old fine system was way too expensive, putting way too much, too high of fines on residents. The whole idea of the fine system, let me find it.
He has one, Karen.
I have it.
He has one.
So the ACC board came up with a framework, and then myself and three residents looked at the framework and bounced it against our deed restrictions so that we could make it as painless as possible so that it didn't conflict with anything in the deed restrictions. And the whole objective of the fine system is beautification, health, and welfare of Holiday Park community and not to levy fines. However, we need to have a means to let people that have violations know that we have a standard in the park. It's in our deed restrictions. It's in our policies, our regulations, our ACC rules and regulations. And when people come into the park and become a resident, they agree to abide by all these policies we have. So this is basically a four-phase policy. All violations are weighted equally, whether it's an ACC violation, a deed restriction violation, or any violation of a policy of the park. Properties found to be in violation of the deed restriction and district or ACC rules and regulations shall be notified from the district office via UPS letter signed by the district manager outlining violations and providing the following windows of time and penalties for remediation of those violations. Phases 1 through 4 and lien process will be included in each letter. As I said, all violations are the same. In phase 1, after the mailing of the violation letter, The resident will have 30 days to contact the district office and inform the district manager that A, the issue has been corrected, B, the scheduled date of remediation, or C, to schedule an extension of time. No fine will be assessed for this 30-day remediation period. The idea behind all of these phases is that we want the residents and we want the office to communicate with people when there is a violation and correct it through communications, not have to levy a fine. We don't want people coming in and paying fines and saying, I paid my fine, I'm done. Okay. We want to communicate. And if it's a case where somebody can't get something done or doesn't have the means, as long as they communicate, maybe we can work with them and get that taken care of so that we keep this a beautiful park. Phase two would be if the violations go unanswered within the initial 30 days, the owner may be assessed a fine per violation. A hearing may be scheduled unless the district manager is contacted by the owner prior to the end of the 30-day period, and an additional 30 days may be given to the owner to correct the violations. The phase two fine would be $50. Phase three, if violations go unanswered after the second 30-day remediation period, which is now a total of 60 days, an additional fine per violation will be assessed. An additional 30 days will also be given to the owner to correct the violation. That phase three fine would be $100. So now if the person's gone through 60 days and not corrected the violation, a fine would be assessed of $150 per violation. Individual owner violation fines are capped at $150 per violation, and the aggregate, so the total, if they have, say, four different violations or five different violations, it would be $150 per violation. So four times $150 would be a $600 fine assessed, not to exceed $1,000 per calendar year, and that's a Florida statute. At any time during the first 90 days after the owner has been cited, if the issue is corrected and the correction is confirmed by an inspection by the district manager or their designee, the fine will revert to zero. No fine will be assessed. Phase four, if violations are not corrected before the end of 90 days, all assessed violation fines and attorney filing fees will be collected via a lien against the property. So if after 90 days, nothing has happened, we will refer the violations to our attorney to place a lien in the amount of the violations against the residents. If the owner feels the inspection violations or any part of the process has been unfair, the issue can be brought to an appeal board consisting of one trustee, one ACC member, and one member of the community for review. Fees could be reduced or eliminated for personal hardship. This appeal must be scheduled prior to the end of the 90-day remediation timeframe. If an appeal hearing is not scheduled or the appeal hearing decides for the park, the Holiday Park attorney will be instructed to process the lien to include all violation fines, administration fees, and attorney fees. There will be no opportunity for the owner to revert to $0 after that time. So the idea is we give you as much time to take care of it. Please communicate with the office. We'll try to work around whatever problems there might be. The idea is not just to levy a fine and irritate the homeowner. The idea is let's keep every place in accordance with deed restrictions, policies and procedures, ACC rules and guidelines. We all agree to that when we come into the park. So let's just do it. Questions?
Mary Quirk, 379 Holiday Park Boulevard. Is this passed? Is this going to be it? Is this? Then I need a copy of that to send to get into the book, because the book is in the process of being processed.
Be added to rules and regulations, page 4 alpha.
Okay, and I need a copy of that.
I've got to make a motion. We got to vote.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you had already approved it. I wasn't sure. Thank you. Just letting you know, the book is in the process. Okay. Thank you.
I make a motion that we accept this draft of the fine system for Port Malabar Holiday Park.
Second.
It's been moved and second.
Already seconded.
I have a question.
We have a question.
I was wondering, how much would the administration fee be per violation? And do you have a ballpark idea on the attorney fee to file the lien?
I have no idea.
It's kind of tough to vote on then, if we don't have any idea. I like the fine system. I think the ACC did an incredible job, creative. The reset to zero, brilliant idea. Be nice to know, though, what we're going to be approving to put on all the resident owners, all the owners. That's who it comes down to, not renters. It's whoever owns the property. And if admin fees, that would go to our office for processing these things?
To write up, to make up the letter, to send out the letters.
Uh-huh. Be good to know a general idea of the two costs.
$5.
Okay, admin is $5.
You're never going to be able to put that into your budget. I'm sorry, because the fees for that on this, those are going to come from your attorney, and they're going to be based on case by case basis.
Right. So
an
if it's a one,
I mean, a basic filing fee for some things in the state of Florida are based upon the dollar value.
Right.
So if you file a claims case, just for an example, that's $8,000. It's going to cost you $350 to file it. If you file another case that's only $2,000, it might only cost you $100. It's mm-hmm. based on a case-by-case financial fiduciary through the state. The attorney doesn't control it. The state does. And they may charge us $150 to process it in their office, which mm-hmm. would be their fee, and you'd have to take that up with Mr. Bowen or whoever our attorney is at that specific time if it ever changes. But the fees for the state are set by the state. Never going to be able to put that in that. That's something you
does
can't
anybody
have an idea because I file legal action. That's something I used to do. It depends upon the dollar value.
Correct.
The fiduciary value. So if we have a fine, let's say a fine system, like you said, it's $600
okay.
that someone had because they had multiple fines.
Sure.
And we wanted to file the lien. The process to file the lien is to file the paperwork through the state, the clerk of the courts.
Correct.
It may cost us the state fees of $100 to file that. That would be state fees. But our attorney is then going to charge us his fees for his work. He's going to charge you the communication fees with us, which could be $50 a phone call, because he charges that. I've seen the bills. He's going to charge us the processing fee, and it could be anywhere from $50 to $250. It's going to depend upon the cases that he does. And so that's not something that you can actually consider in taking this fine fee, because it's completely separate. Those are fees that are going to be charged to us by the attorney, and those are going to go into the lien. That has nothing to do with the fines that he's talking about. His fine fee is already structured. The attorney fees are separate completely, and they shouldn't even be considered in what he's talking about.
So you just mentioned three figures that added up to $400 on a hypothetical $600. So a $600 could be $1,000.
Correct. If a resident has a fine of $600, the legal fees could be as high as $600. It just depends on what the state allows to be filed.
Okay.
Kathy? I have a question. Being part of the ACC board in the past, I've seen some of the stuff that these people will throw at us. And the belligerency, I can't get much closer to this mic. Is that any better? Okay. I personally am going to go out on a limb here and say, I really don't care what that additional fee is. We've had enough problems with enough people. And if they're not willing to comply, then they get what they get. I mean, we've bent over backwards to make this right. I really don't care. And I think it's a moot point. I can't put any plainer than that. These people don't want to work with us. They tell us to go kiss off. We have it so bad sometimes that even Ron Foote won't even deal with them. And Ron's a pretty reasonable guy. That's where I'm at with this thing. I say, let it go as it is. Let's vote it in.
Okay. And Gary, the idea is that we're not going to have to go to this point, right? We're trying to do everything we possibly can to remedy the violation before it gets to this point. So if somebody is willing to go to this point, then they really don't care.
Yes, and you're right, Mark and Dave. And I've, Ron and Karen and others have shared their personal firsthand experience with what we had in the past. This, they've got an opportunity to reset to zero up to 90 days. Just get the thing done. So I understand. Good.
Jim Quirk, 379 Holiday Park Boulevard. From what I understand now, we live near a couple of slumlords. And every day you look out and there's tin flat branches blowing around. So we're supposed to just sit there until they pay a fine, if they ever pay a fine, before they correct it.
We can't control what the homeowner does.
Okay.
I mean, you put in a complaint. And if it's in a violation letter will get sent out.
I thought we had a committee that rode around and checked violations. I've turned people in.
So what happened is the ACC board was asked to go around to the whole park,
right,
and look at people's properties and write up violations. They did that. Letters were sent out. Many people have remedied their violations. If it's a person that is habitual, then we're just going to have to wait until the end of the 90 days and give it to our attorney and have a lien. Even if they file a lien against the home, that doesn't mean that they're going to correct that problem. We can't go in there. I mean, we don't have the means to force them to remediate a violation. You know what I'm saying?
So if a piece of metal flies off their house into my yard and somebody gets injured, I just get Band-Aids?
You get an attorney.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody that would like to come up?
What's your address?
379 Holiday Park Boulevard.
I will be there tomorrow.
Bruce Crabb, 1252 Neighborly Court. Mark, I want to compliment you on this work.
It wasn't me.
No, well, whoever did it. We inherited a fine system from 2015, which was totally ridiculous. And we've tried to work with it and whatnot, because it was part of the fine system. And if you remember right, the meeting before last, when they were discussed, I said, make a motion and drop whatever we did that was done. In. I only got one comment on this. Well, two comments, actually. All the applications we have in the park and everything else we have, a person has the right to bring a request before the Board of Trustees. Maybe this is where that belongs rather than doing a committee of three. Just an idea.
Say that again.
All our applications that we have in the office, and I think several things in our bylaws and so on, I mean our policies and rules and regulations state, if a person is in disagreement, they can write a letter to the Board of Trustees and come before the Board of Trustees and let the trustees rule on it. That might be an easier way to do this rather than have three people do it. Just an idea. The second idea just went right out of my head.
Well, Bruce, I would say to that, if the resident is in agreement with that committee,
yeah,
they have every right to bring it to the board.
Okay, well, that's what I mean. So if they disagree with the committee, right? Oh, the other thing was 5 or 6 years ago when they were paying for these liens, I went to the clerk of court. IPOC can file a lien to the clerk of court for $10. We don't got to go through an attorney. That's what I was told by the clerk of court. Hello. Wow. Check it out.
Thank you. Kathy?
I'm okay. He asked the question I was going to ask.
Oh, okay. Oh. I didn't ignore you. I just was waiting.
That's okay. That's all right.
Okay. Anyone else? I thought you did an excellent job. Thank you. No. Can we motion on it?
We have a motion and a second.
We have to vote. There is a motion and a second. You need to vote.
Okay. We have a motion. We have a second. Everybody in favor? Any other motions? Just say anyone. Motions? Carry your hands up if you're for it. Down if you're not.
Motion passed 8-0.
Very good. Okay. That's the time. Here we go. Air condition. Gary?
Oh, I got a... Everybody should have got a copy of the new pool room, card room air conditioning. It was relooked at by the engineering department, and the pool room and card room air conditioner. The proposal we passed 2 weeks ago, company Freedom Air took a harder look at it and realized that we're air conditioning less space than we were several years ago, at least 11. By capping that off, that it was partially responsible for the excessive pressure that was blowing the system apart up in the attic. They determined that we do not need a 10-ton system. They've repriced it. We don't have to replace as much duct work. And the new price is $7,348 lower. They're going to do everything they planned. It's going to be a 6-ton, 2-stage unit. And they're going to do the insulation, cut the door, return bigger. And so the park stands right now. I thought I should let everybody know about the lower price. We may want to vote on it. I'm not sure. I didn't go back to everybody else. I only got Freedom Air because they're the only ones who checked it out properly. So the new price, as you saw on the... Instead of $34,658, it's $27,310.74. $7,347.26 less. And if we need to vote, we can vote again. But otherwise, the contract can be signed by Chairman Kay, and it becomes a contract. I mean, the proposal, and they'll even come over and pick it up if it's helpful to you, Kay. It was 27,310.74. That's the new price.
Just a comment also. That is going to be, those funds will not be coming out of the operating budget. I hope to have that in, that'll be covered by a reserve account. Also, Mary, I forgot to mention the $7,700 for the About Us books. I did put that into the new budget. So that was part of our operating for next year.
Okay. Yes.
Do we need to vote on this or are we good to go on?
It's good to go. You don't need to vote.
Okay. Point of information. While we're talking about getting things done, the people up at the north end of the park by the pond in that beautiful oaked area, your bridge is going to be gone Friday morning.
Oh,
I'm just giving you a heads up. We saved $300 on that. We're $300 below what we voted on. So that's a plus. You can add that to the budget, Mark.
Yeah, we approved up to 1900. So
I'm wrong on the numbers. We come in at 1750.
Oh, okay.
And Jose's got a little bit of work to do, and I'll probably help him on it. But it's done. It's covered. We're out of there. No more rotten wood.
One thing, Kay, just in case. I've gotten two proposals. Well, four proposals on the adding the sanitizing systems to the air conditioners in the hall, the whole building. But unfortunately, three of them are from Freedom Air, and one is the one that presented it to us on March 14th. So I think the board might want me to get one more.
Probably.
Okay.
Sound like a good idea.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so the air conditioned system is a go? My understanding?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, what? Warranty?
Oh, it was red. I have to pull it back up. That's we did it pass was, the higher price
one. It was approved
one.
Before.
Let's yeah. see.
Yeah. You want to read it?
Oh, let's see. 5-year compressor warranty, 1-year coil, 1-year parts warranty, and a 2-year labor warranty. Right. Yeah, those are the different types of warranties.
Five, that was all? 5-year warranty, is that all?
5-year compressor warranty.
Say, I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Yes, 5-year compressor warranty.
Compressor, okay.
Which is standard. Right. One thing that got overlooked, I don't know what kind of priority it is. Jose had asked me to help him get at least another price on painting, removing the paint and painting the drip edge around the building. There's 900 feet of it. He had one price, and it was to scrape and repaint. We got a price from another handyman. He's going to sand off the first layer of paint that's peeling, leave the factory paint on, and then repaint the whole thing. So if we want to consider that, but we only have two, and it was 2,700 and something. For the guy that's going to remove all the peeling paint, it's $2,799. The other one, who's just going to scrape it and paint, which me personally, I wouldn't do that because scrape it is $2,225. If you just scrape it and paint it, you're going to see more peeling relatively soon. If you sand off what is peeling, you should be able to cure that. And so, but I don't know. We just got two.
We need three.
I'll have to find another one. Okay. It is a small amount, though. It's $2,800. I thought it's not a high priority, too, maybe. Okay. Whatever the chair wants, we'll do. One more, Kate?
I think we need three. That's what the requirement is for everybody else. So.
What's the price? 2,700 to 3,000?
Yeah.
No. The requirement.
You said under 20. Say it again.
2,799.
Well, yeah, then you can do it.
Thanks.
Does the board agree to that?
Yes. The only time you need three bids is if it's over $5,000.
Right. Yes. Mark is right. Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborhood Court. Under $5,000, you don't need one bid.
Oh.
The problem on that thing around there that you're fooling around with now, and I argued against this when they did it, that was an aluminum flashing. You cannot paint aluminum unless it's etched. They did not etch it, which is why the paint's coming off.
It's actually got a factory paint on it, but it was white. So they painted over it with no prep.
No, it was aluminum. I was here when it was put up.
Oh, okay.
And the chairman at the time wanted to rip the molding off and put a new one. I says, absolutely not. You avoid the warranty on that roof. You will not rip it off. I said, I've looked at it, and you can slip that fascia right up underneath it, which is what they did. Then they didn't like the aluminum color, so they painted it red, which they never should have done.
I haven't looked at all of it, but some of the larger peeled areas are white, not aluminum.
They had white underneath the red, I think.
Right.
But there was aluminum originally.
Oh.
Okay. So it's a go. Go ahead.
You need a motion and a second.
Okay. We need a motion, she said, but I thought it was under the three or under the five.
You still need a motion and a second.
Okay, I need a motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion. You give him up to $2,800 for to paint the stuff up in the roof.
I need a second.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and second that we paint, give him the money to go ahead and fix our roof. Everybody in favor? Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Gary.
For the record, it's 8 yes, 0 no.
Okay. We did.
You're down to installing Ron Foot.
All right. Mr. Ron Foot. No. He asked to be installed at the trustees meeting, is what I was told. Okay, you don't want to be installed. Fine. Okay, do we have a report from the ACC?
You still have the certificates. You still have the certificates on your list.
No, we've already gone past that. Jeez.
Kay, excuse me. Before the ACC report, part of your list, there's two items left. The certificates with Bruce and Diane and the application.
That's on my next. I had that next. I'm sorry. Okay, certificates first. I just reversed them. Sorry. Bruce and Diane. I'm sorry. I reversed it.
I did think to bring it. Yeah, well, you know, Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Diane and I we sent a letter to the Board of Trustees so the people know. We bid on five certificates the other day for a cost of $15,438.11. For 334 Holiday Park, 188 Holiday Park, 210 Blossom, 1229 Shell, and 142 Mystic. So we put in the bid, and we will know what the end of the month if we get it or not, around the 1st of June. So the bids are in. We spent the money.
Can you
Bruce,
give me the address?
Did you have one left over from last year that maybe? Okay.
Yeah. That's the 142 Mystic.
Oh, so you're going another year with that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What was the address on Shell?
It was 1229
Shell.
Thank you.
You should have a letter in your boxes. Okay.
Seems like a really good program because it puts a park in the position at 3 years.
That's right.
To enforce an auction.
And see, had this been done 5 or 6 years ago, we wouldn't have had these derelict homes in here. And also, Brevard County didn't do anything about doing auctions till just about 4 years ago. So that was when the first auctions were done. Now they're pushing it. Well, they're only owed $700 million.
Okay, good job.
Damn. I just want to say this is basically, it's insurance. Right. If we didn't do this program right now and the real estate market stays as white hot as it is, it would be no problem because the regular process would take care of it. Mm-hmm. What happens is when the market drops and these houses are no longer worth the amount that's owed on them, then we'll have a chance to get them out of here. So it's insurance, which in the long run costs us nothing because we get the money back when they're redeemed or sold.
Right. Right. Excellent.
Good. Very good.
Do you need help, Greg? You gonna be okay? Okay, well, go home if you need to.
Okay. We have applications for registration. Bruce? Says applications for registration.
Okay. I think you have
six different applications the office needs. The board should approve all of them.
Right.
I think there's application for buy-in and what's the other one? I forgot. And then there's four ACC. They've been in the works for months. Karen has worked on them. I have worked on them. We just got to get them all approved so we can start using them.
I got some questions on that.
Applications. When you buy a home, when you're coming in here, when you're renovating a home, when you're putting in a new home. Yeah. These are new applications that had to be returned because of the deed restriction. Yeah.
I got some questions. Number one, did any of the verbiage get changed on this stuff?
Did any of the what?
The verbiage on these forms get changed?
Yes.
Why?
With new deed restrictions. And the verbiage that was in there before referred to the old deed restrictions. Like owner in good standing and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm in registration. Then you've got application for registration. Same thing.
Well, yes, but we struck the word purchase. The office does not issue an application for you to purchase a home.
No, but you're asking them for information if they're buying a home.
Yes, that's true.
Well,
we've always asked for information if you buy a home. Before you can get a decal, you've got to fill out that application.
Okay, then we got another point here. At any time a pet exceeds 25 pounds mature weight, he or she may be subject to the removal from Holiday Park. Registered service dogs are exempt from the 25 pounds. Then we go over and we read something to the effect of if they gain a pound, they're liable to go out. Obviously, you don't own pets.
I do know pets. Yeah. Somebody asked a question, did we change that, the deed restriction? We did not change that. The wording is exactly what's been in the deed restriction. That's all I know. It was never changed. Yeah?
Bruce, just say somebody's dog gained 3 pounds and they're at 28. And I don't know who's going to go out there with the scale and weigh them. But in the event there's someone, might be me, with an overweight dog by a couple of pounds or something, can that person appeal to the board for forgiveness or something and try to diet it down?
Anything can be appealed to the Board of Trustees.
Okay.
Hey, remember, we had a couple of people that had a Great Dane in here. You know.
Okay.
Okay.
I've got a question. It says first time purchaser has to pay $50.
What's that?
It says first time purchaser pays $50.
Yep.
So the second time you buy a house, you don't have to pay the $50.
Right.
But you do have to fill out the form.
If you can buy a second home in here and move. You do not pay the $50, but you cannot rent the other house.
Right. But my question is, do you still have to fill out the form?
You fill out the form, because you got to move.
Okay.
Yep. Other than that, the office won't know you've moved.
Good point.
Hi, Pam Hefferman, 326 Holiday Park. On these applications to have work done on your house, I want to know why we have to pay $10. I'm already getting a permit from the city of Palm Bay that I'm paying a lot more for. So why do I have to pay $10?
I don't know, because when I had to pay it, I just threw a fit.
You know, that's the answer I got when I asked the office, why do I have to pay this? And they said, I don't know. You just have to.
Pam, I was on the board when that was put in. It's to offset some of the costs of the work that's done in the office and the paperwork and that kind of
thing. So where does the money go? I was told by the office that it goes to the ACC.
No, it doesn't.
Well, that's what they told me.
Well, that's incorrect. It goes into our general funds for the park.
Okay. I still don't understand it. I really don't.
I didn't either, but I just, Pam, I just threw a tizzy. I did. I just threw a tizzy.
Yeah. It makes no sense to me.
It didn't do any good, but I threw a tizzy.
I mean, we're paying the office personnel. They're not doing a lot of work by taking this because I filled it out. Right. I have to get a copy of the license. I have to get a copy of the insurance for a company that's been in here many times that should be on file already. But I have to get it again.
I have to do it too.
So they should be paying me.
I know. I felt the same way, Pam.
Good one.
Yes, Karen.
I love it.
Karen Foote, 214 Holiday Park. First, I'll go on the pet thing for Dave and whoever was answering. On the new deed restrictions, it does not say if a goat gains any weight that it'll be thrown out of the park. Okay? It says, shall be deemed to mean dogs, cats, rabbits not to exceed 25 pounds, mature breed weight. There's nothing about getting rid of your, so that's wrong in there.
Yep.
It's not in the deed restriction, so that needs to come out of there. The thing on, Gary, go ahead.
Did the ACC have an opportunity to review these and
I did have an opportunity to look at Bruce's because I was working in the office for a week with Kay when the girls were out with COVID.
Oh, but you weren't.
So I got to see them. No, we don't look at those. We don't do anything with those. That's just the office.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But I did look them over.
Pretty good.
Just because I was
maybe
there.
Maybe the dog one.
And the other thing is Pam's right. We get that all the time. I don't know why we charge and why don't we charge for landscaping when these ACC guys got to do a lot more work for landscaping and there's no fee for landscaping. That's why we separated them this time, because this time the girls are getting confused when they get exterior and landscaping. I'll look for the $10 paid when we're doing the copies and it's not there. So I really think you guys need to review that and say, why are we paying? Why don't our own people have to pay for application? No, that's all. I'm just asking.
You know, I just got to say something. You know, I think if people are fixing up their homes and doing what they need to do, I don't think that we should charge them this $10. I mean, they are out there doing what they need to do.
I can see the removals and the new homes coming in.
Yes.
Yes, because there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of copying. And I mean, you get a new a new home coming in here. There's 50 pages those girls got to copy 6 times. Because each ACC member has to have a copy of that.
Yeah.
But these things were, like Pam saying, just to have a tree taken down or I think it's crazy to pay that $10.
Yeah.
That's just me, you know?
Yeah. Let's take that off. Yeah.
Net Regis 409 Holiday. Hi. With regards to the pets, all right, this is a little sticky situation because there are people in this park with some really large dogs. And also the fact you don't feel comfortable. I, as a resident, don't feel comfortable going up to someone and asking them, is that a service dog? Okay.
You can't really ask.
But
she's trying to talk.
Excuse me?
I said, you're trying to talk.
Well, there's a lot of dogs in here. I mean, there's a greyhound right next door to me. Just goes right, she takes it out. That's her service dog. And then she has her emotional support poodle. Very nice lady, but... I think, this business, anything written in there about if your dog is over a certain weight is absolutely obscene. Because if my dog weighs over a certain amount of money, there ain't no way I'm giving my dog up. And I would dare someone to come to my house and tell me that I have to get rid of my dog because she's fat. There's a lot of fat people in this park that could be kicked out.
And that was pretty good.
Okay, Bruce Crabb.
Settle down.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Two things. I agree. Get rid of the $10 fee. I think that pass the applications, get rid of that $10 fee on the remodeling, and no, we can't get our $10 back. I paid for mine too. And secondly, For any of you that don't know, I used to raise St. Bernards. I showed dogs professionally. So I'm going to get a St. Bernard therapy dog.
Okay. He wants to remove the $10. We need a motion.
I'll make a motion to remove that $10. It sounds pretty
unpopular. We need a second.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and second. We remove the $10.
Yeah,
okay. Becky.
Can you add to that on all of the applications that now have the $10 to remove it from all of the applications, not just one?
No, it's the landscaping doesn't have it. It's just the remodeling one, whatever they call it. I don't know. I look at a million of them.
So we have remodeling and what else?
It's only the one.
Only one?
Yep, just the remodeling. Okay. And then the two of Bruce's, that thing about the dogs needs to come out.
Yep.
All right, because we don't have, it's not
the remodeling first.
The remodeling one doesn't need the $10 anymore.
Okay.
The removal still needs the $20 and the new house still needs the $50.
You've got one on renovate too.
The renovate is the one we're talking about. Renovate, Bruce.
So renovate doesn't need the $10. You guys.
You're going to take it off of the renovate one.
We're taking $10 off the remodeling.
Right? Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. And application to remove home, it stays on though.
Remove home is going to stay there because it's a lot of work on that
okay.
one.
Board members. Everybody in favor?
Yes.
It's been moved and second. Yes.
I'm in favor.
Okay. $10 has been removed. Thank you. Motion carries.
And then on the one of Bruce's there, we just got to take off the thing saying we're going to get rid of dogs if they gain a pound.
Weight Watchers behind.
And then the other thing is, if you guys, and I know 25 pounds, and I'm not a big dog lover, even though I do love everybody's dog. We do have a lot of dogs in here, over 25 pounds. When I worked in the office for a week, the girls don't even ask that question. They look at the purchase application. There's not anything on there asking you what your dog weighs.
Correct.
That's just asking you
if you have a dog.
If you have a dog. So I had a lady come in while I was working there, and I said, "Can you please send me your vet record? Because on that vet record, it's going to show you how much that dog weighs." This lady told me she's a brand new owner. She's not going to follow our deed restrictions. She'll bring her dog in here if she wants to. And she's not going to tell me how much that dog weighs.
Ooh.
Yes. She ripped up the whole About Us book and threw it at me and said, "I don't care what you guys do here."
Okay.
So someone like that, we have to change it in the deed restrictions. That's what we have to do. Okay. 25 pounds is a little tiny dog. If you're going to let bigger dogs in there, the next time we review the deed restrictions, it's got to be changed. That's all I'm saying. We can't do anything about it now. But I would ask on these purchase ones, let's have the vet records so we know how big these dogs are. That's what I mean. And we have nothing that asks that. We have no paperwork that asks that.
No. When I came, they asked for that, and my vet had to send all that stuff to them.
And none of this paperwork.
Yeah.
Yes, dear.
I have two little dogs, thank you. One is 2 pounds, one is 15 pounds. It cost us $300 to move into that park because we couldn't find our medical records for the dogs because we moved to two different places. So we paid the $300, we brought the vet records. So I think everybody should treat it
That's
same.
What I'm saying. Yeah,
now, one of my dogs is 2 pounds and the other one is probably 10 or 11. And by the way, they're 2 pounds overweight.
Oh, no.
That's what the vet told me. One is 1 pound overweight, 1 2 pounds.
So I do agree with Annette. We need to find out. I mean, she does have a greyhound. Yeah. It's not a service dog. Service dogs have to have a vest. Emotional support dogs, even the attorney, I asked the attorney with Sheree one day, emotional support support dogs have to be under 25 pounds, and this park is letting too many of them in here.
Thank you.
We need a motion for the 6th application.
Yeah, we're back to them. Okay.
Did we hold on?
We need to
take the $10 off?
Yes.
I was 8-0.
You voted on the
$10. Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we voted on it, but I don't know how many did yes and how many did
not. Ursula,
no.
So did you vote to take off the $10?
No, I did not.
Oh.
You've got one nay.
You got one no.
Thank you.
Oh. Now you got to vote on the secret. Yes.
Okay. Now, we are back to this restrictions of these applications that Bruce and all of them worked on, and we've been talking about
the application forms that we've been discussing.
Yes, so we are going to need to have a motion to pass these. I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept these forms as they have been corrected, with the understanding that the new owner registration form be corrected before it's done. The area about dogs, animals, whatever.
Dogs and the $10?
The $10 we voted on.
Yeah, we were eliminating that.
Right.
Right.
$10.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Been moved and second. We accept this. Every trustees in favor? Trustees opposed? Motion carried. That's what I thought. We're getting close, I think. Okay. I have, you're going to love it. I have a complaint.
Oh, Lord.
We get this complaint, I mean, almost every meeting. This is by Joe. Sweet Joe. I am tired of cleaning the park's pine needles from my driveway, my gutters, and even one of the slings of my lattice. This is about the fourth or fifth complaint starting from 8 years ago when Rich was alive. He also even belonged in Florida. That was nice. We are still cleaning up after them. As from what I understand, Cherie got a vote from Pine Tree Service for $3,000 to remove them. They have grown 15 feet more from 8 years ago. If they come down and wreck either my carport, it will be way more to repair either the carport. I would guess it will be triple in repairs when what it costs to remove them. This is up to the board on how to handle this. And I really don't need another stupid response like the chairman of the board remarked when he read the last complaint. I understand that he stepped down after a stupid remark. We are not talking, or we are not taking them down. And if Joe doesn't like it, he can move. It's really funny that I have lived in this park for 18 years and never have been late my park fees. And this guy
that has been here for 1 or 2 years says Joe can move if he doesn't like it. Have a wonderful day. He is still after those 3 pine trees across from him to be removed.
The board voted on that last meeting or the meeting before?
Mm-hmm. Meeting before. And I went and I told him, and he wasn't happy with me. Yes, Carol.
Carol Summers, 1143 Greenview Court. And yes, we did vote on that as a board at our last meeting. He says this is up to the board. The board made a decision. I know he's not happy with your decision, but you did make one. He's going to have to accept it. If those trees come down and they happen to hit his house, then maybe we will have to consider something at that point in time. But those trees are healthy and the chances of them coming down are fairly slim. I'm not saying that I don't support what he's saying as having to clean it up. We all have to clean up pine needles. They're everywhere in our yard, too. And I don't even have a tree in my yard. It's just a fact of life. But you did vote on it. He needs to accept your vote. And you need to address it with respect in a letter that says this is how the board voted. And we will leave the trees standing. And he should be given that opportunity to accept that. And if he chooses not to, then you don't have to deal with his complaints anymore because it has been addressed legally. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know I have went to him and tried to talk with him sensibly. He's will be real nice one day. And then the next day he's a little upset when he's out there cleaning them up. So I, you know, this is his another nice.
Send an official letter to the
office. I can do that.
I was just going to say that.
We can do that and get that done. For
I talked with Joe. He approached me and I tried to show him that there's one tree that could possibly graze his carport if it came down. That's it would take a perfect shot landing perfectly and it might hit it. It's hard to judge, but that's like one out of 360 degrees, you know? So I think he's a little overly concerned that it's going to wipe out his carport. But, and he told me after the vote, I know what happened. I'm going to let it go. But now we got another complaint. So yeah. Send the letter, Kay.
I will write a letter and send it. So, but I would thought I would share that with you since he keeps going after me all the time. I just thought I'd share a little of the blame. Okay. Do we have an ACC report now?
Devon Brave Soul.
Yeah, it's round foot 214 Holiday Park. I'd like to thank the board for passing them applications. So it's they are on the internet now. All we have to do is change the one about the $10 fee. And I did start when I was on the board last time. And the office decided not to keep it. I started to keep a log of all the trust, all the insurance papers and the contractor's licenses. So that if you don't have time to get it yourself and all Florida weatherproofing comes in to do your roof, we've already got the stuff for the year. And it would save paperwork from them to us. And if we got it on file, all we'd have to do was look it up. And I'll start another book this time. And I don't hope the new, and I know Kay won't, but Sheree said, no, we're not going to do that. And I had probably 10 or 15 contractors in there. But after that, I'd like to remind everybody, you know, we don't park on our front lawns. We don't park behind the houses. That's some of the complaints we've been getting. Power washing's got to be done again. A lot of the houses are starting to turn green. So, you know, if you can do it now, then we don't have to write you up. And there's been good cooperation in the park about doing it. And I've had people from up north call, and they took over their father's house. They wanted to know what they had to have done, and they agreed to have somebody in the park do it. So it gets to little things like that. It keeps the park going and make it look good around here. I think that's about it.
I think we got a vote on your application letter. Because you were absent when we voted on Bill Linares, and it was mentioned. And did we vote on
accepting him?
Yeah, we
did. Yeah, Joan came to our meeting and installed me there. We did that to other people before, too. She already installed me to the oath of office and all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah. I'll think about that. Yeah.
The park has not looked better in many years. We thank you.
No, thank you. It's the committee's job, too. Without them, I couldn't be doing my job. So if nobody's got anything else for me, just the normal things, you keep your weeds pulled and, you need an application for an ACC thing, just come on and fill it out. And if you're doing it for a roof, it's an unwritten policy that I made. If you're doing it for a roof, you're not going to spend $15,000 for a roof if you don't need it. And with the weather conditions that are down here and people going home and stuff, if it needs to be done, they come in, I get two guys to sign it, and we get their roof applications applied that way. The rest of the stuff needs to come in and be done. But with the roofs, we kind of let that slide. That's been a good policy. Okay, that's all I got.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Ask Pam.
Pam, do we have anything from HPP? OA? I'm sorry, what?
Payroll.
Yeah.
Where did I miss?
I thought we approved that.
No.
We discussed that.
No, we didn't.
When he was doing the budget.
No.
If you were going to give him an increase.
No, we didn't.
Oh.
That was insurance related.
Right.
Yeah, when we did the, when he did the budget, he covered that when I asked him the percentage of what we were doing for the...
He covered it for the budget purposes. Was this presented on the agenda because of the budget, or was it presented on the agenda because we're due to do our increases for our employees and those need to be approved? Is that two different issues?
Exactly.
One issue is he's got it in the budget, which is what you discussed. That's how much you budgeted for, was the 3%. But if this is here because it's time to do our increases, then we need to do the increases. And if that's the reason it's on the agenda, then it should be discussed as that, not the budget. That's why I was asking for clarification, because it is on the agenda, and I would assume it's there because we need to do our increases now. They're due.
I don't know if
they're due yet.
I don't know if the job reports have been done yet. The annual reviews. We don't have that.
All we were trying to do is make sure it was going to be on the budget to give the percentage like he has there.
Right.
And I think you said 5% instead of 3.5.
Three.
Okay.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't missing something. That's the reason I wanted to clarify
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay. And you're going
to
be working.
Because when we get the papers to fill out, then we can do that. Okay.
Gotcha.
This is just try to make sure that we got it on the budget.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
You asking me a question, sir?
No. In the last meeting, there was quite a few people, including Bruce. And,
I'm sorry.
In the last meeting, there were quite a few people that maybe you that pointed out that maybe we might have a couple of employees or a few. I don't know.
Say it again, Gary. Underpaid. I can't hear you.
Generally underpaid. So, a 3% increase for somebody who's underpaid, they're still underpaid. And Bruce, I know, spoke up about it. Keith, others. And I am not allowed, I asked, and I was told, no, you cannot see what we pay our staff. I said, okay.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was maybe a privacy concern or something. And I didn't necessarily need to know it by name, but position or something. Because how can I... Okay, well, maybe Kay could let him know, because I was just going to go look through the list, look at their longevity and say, it might jump out if we got a couple of underpaid employees that also are not taking in any insurance, you know, in the interest of fairness, maybe a few might need a little something.
As I did state earlier in the meeting, we do have some employees that I think are underpaid. But one of the things that I was going to say is if this was to do this, until we get our financial forensic audit completed, where we know where we are 100% financially,
we can't.
I would think we would hold off on doing an increase until we know where our money's at 100% of the way. And that would be protecting our budget and our income.
And plus, we have that form we're supposed to fill out for them.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's not ready for that. I think until we have our audit done, it'd be best not to do an increase.
The budget is due June.
You can do your 3% in the budget. That's not going to affect how it, but any increases that go out at this point should probably wait until I wouldn't give a raise. I wouldn't give a raise tomorrow is what I'm saying.
Shucks.
You see what I'm saying?
They'll be the point
do that tomorrow. The reason I said I wouldn't do it tomorrow until we have that forensic audit completed so that you know where your money's at.
I just don't expect the forensic audit to be completed until the end of June.
Yeah, but even if you're doing the budget, that doesn't make any difference. The budget's got to be set. You have to put the increase in the budget. What I'm saying is I thought we were talking about, this was showing that we were talking about time to give raises. It doesn't stipulate on here that it had to do with the budget. So my question was, are we discussing it because it was here, because it was time for the raises? And if it was, then we needed to put it off because of the forensic audit until you know where your money's at. I was just asking for clarification. So if this was here because of the budget, then great. It's been discussed. The budget's set to go. Your 3% is in there, and that's the way it should be. It was just clarification.
As soon as we get that taken care of, then we can get the form done.
Yeah.
And that's, we have a step.
Right. I understand that. I just wanted to make clarification.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Chair?
Yes.
It was my understanding that we were going to look at this as a dollar and cents thing for two employees in the park that are grossly underpaid. Yeah. And we were going to separate this out and get it done tonight. These guys have been working for us for practically nothing for a lot of years. Jose is one. Dwayne is the other. Definitely Dwayne. Point making is we need to give them a raise and we need to do it ASAP.
Well,
we normally give raises at the beginning of October when our new budget goes into effect.
We can't wait that long.
Well,
yeah.
Good do point. What?
Good point. They got 37 years in here between them. I think they've been patient.
They have to have an annual review before you can do a merit raise. You have to give them an annual review before you can give a merit raise.
Have any of those been skipped?
Should have been done last year. We only do it once a year. Well,
Madam Chair, Net Reg is 409. Can I ask a favor? Can you have Bruce please instruct him that when he's talking about something, he comes up to the microphone and doesn't yell from his chair, because most times we can't hear what he's saying back there from his chair. And if everybody else has to come to the microphone, he should also with anything he has to contribute.
I swear. Okay, we're back over here to this, what Dave brought to the attention here. And they're talking about a merit. Okay, what percentage are you thinking about for merit?
I'm not thinking about a percentage. I'm talking about dollars and cents.
Okay.
I think Dwayne should be brought up to at least $22 an hour and Jose up to 20. And these guys are putting in mega overtime and getting no thanks for it. Jose is supposed to be in here part-time. He's working over full-time. Dwayne gets no compliments whatsoever for the work he does.
That's true.
And he's got 25 years or so service. We do nothing for him. That's all I got on it.
Dave, what's he making now?
I think Jose is making 16, and I think Dwayne is maybe 17. I'm not. Mark, do you have any numbers on that?
Just a moment, please.
34.5 annual.
One's making 16.50, and the other one is making 17.
Okay, we're offering new employees more money than that. Something's wrong with the picture.
Yeah, so that's what those two are making. But yeah, once, you know, they've been, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Thank you. I think if somebody put in 25 years for us, they should be rewarded with something, either a bonus or a raise. That would be up to us to decide, I think. But that's not enough money, $17 after 25 years, because right now the minimum wage is 13, and 2 years it's going to be 15. And this guy is making $17 after 25 years. That's insulting.
Exactly. I agree. Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion. We raise them up to those amounts, the 22 and the 20. That's my thought on it. And that's the motion I'll put on the floor.
I second it.
It's been moved and second that we give them 20 and $22.
Yes.
Probably 4 years ago, we did raises in June that year. Yeah. When Bob Shotledge worked with the grounds crew, refitting was over here. And I think he said that time, 4 years ago, that they wanted to hire him for $16 or $17 an hour. And I said, fine. But if you're going to do this, you got to bring all the other three supervisors up to that level, which they did. So if we're making a change now, then we should bring all the supervisors up to the same level.
One more. Derek.
The guardhouse.
Derek.
Derek.
Yes.
The custodian. Well, we don't have a grounds crew anymore. And I also think the office. No?
No on the office.
Okay, well, whatever.
They haven't been here a year yet.
Okay.
Who's the custodian supervisor?
What?
Is Jose the custodian supervisor?
Yes.
Oh,
he has been for years. Right.
Okay.
I think Jose's getting 16, if I remember right. Don't hold me to that. Maybe 20 is a big jump. Maybe we should go 18. I don't know. Whatever. But if you're going to raise, definitely if you're going to raise him, raise the guardhouse person in charge of the guardhouse. He has 6 or 8 employees under him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree.
That would only be fair. Mm-hmm. You know, let's keep it fair, folks.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Do you know how much he's making now?
What's that?
Do you know how much Derek is making now?
No. I have a pay scale from 3 or 4 years ago. That's the last one I have.
Pay scale.
Derek, I'm looking. Where's Derek at? Derek, he's making 16.
I think they were all brought up to 16.
Yeah, he's making 16.
Right.
They need to come up.
Okay, they do need to come up. Oh, one other quick thing. When you were talking about budgeting, we used to hire people who were retired, so we did not have to pay medical insurance. And we used to have as many as 4 and 5 custodians here that all worked maybe 25, 30 hours a week. They were all retired. Even some of them lived in the park. So I think we should start looking at some of the retired people. If they want a job, then we don't pay medical insurance and all these other things.
Okay, Bruce.
Okay.
May I speak, Madam Chairwoman?
Yes.
Bruce, you don't think that somebody put 25 years in should get more than the rest of the supervisors? Is that what you said? You want everybody make the same?
Well, no, the supervisors should all make the same. What we do for Dwayne is totally separate. He's been here 20 plus years.
Right.
That's totally separate.
I want to make sure that he's right. Rewarded for 25 years.
I understand that, but the three supervisors should stay at the same.
Okay.
Who are the three supervisors?
Two supervisors.
You've only got two supervisors.
How long has the supervisor of the guard check been working for us?
On and off for 16 years. He's been laid off twice. He used to be on the grounds crew. The exact amount of time, I'm not sure how long he was gone, but over the course of 16 years. He's come back from two layoffs.
Okay, because I thought he was just recently hired.
And then I wouldn't agree that
he should be making the same.
It was misrepresented in the meeting by someone claiming it was a year. It was about a year for his promotion or something to take the guardship.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor.
Yeah, he's been here quite a while. Okay, so now we're back. We got motions on the floor. Is there any other comments?
Well, just let me clarify the motion. The motion is to bring Dwayne up to 22 and Jose and Derek up to 20. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Thank you.
Derek is a manager. Jose's a manager, right?
Correct.
So those both would be 22, wouldn't they?
No, Dwayne is 22 and the other two are 20.
22.
That's the motion.
That's the motion. Dwayne's going to get 22. Is that what you said? I'm checking.
Yes.
And the other two are getting 20s, the other two managers.
Let me just break in here for a minute. Checking around with some of the employees here, they're all in agreement. They're all in agreement that Dwayne deserves more. And they don't care where they're at. Of course, they'd like to have the raise, and I want to see them get a raise. But Dwayne, in agreement with those guys, should get the extra. And that's where I pointed to that. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. All right. So the motion on the floor.
Second.
Is 2020 and 22.
Crap.
Okay. Sorry, is there any other comment? Oh, she seconded it. You got something else?
No, I said I seconded it.
Oh. Sorry, Bidden. Okay, everybody in favor? Wow. Everybody opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you. Kay. Chairman Kay, would you be so nice kind
job,
as...
Dave.
Chairman, would you...
I'm sorry.
Would you let them all know? And you better have somebody standing by because one of them, they may fall over from gratitude. They're not going to believe what we've just done.
Was that 8-0?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That would be a very outstanding thing for them.
Wow.
He will be so thrilled, Dwayne will. And so will the other two.
You want to make that effective with the next pay period?
Bruce, what do you think?
To go with the next pay period.
They were asking next pay period.
Yes.
Mark, what do you say on that?
Take out your budget.
No.
It goes with the next pay period they're wanting to know.
Correct. When the
Thank you.
Next week when I talk with the CPA.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Next week when we do payroll?
Yes.
I will speak with the CPA and Lori and get those instituted.
Okay. Be taken care of next week, payroll. Is that okay with everybody?
Okay. Yeah, that's unreal.
they're going to fall over.
Madam Chair, can I ask what Lori and Kathy are making?
Yes, you may. Hang on. Lori's making 18.60, and Kathy is making 15.50.
Kathy, yeah.
If you raise the other ones that high, you really should do something with at least Lori.
She just got a raise a little while ago.
When? Doesn't show it here. Back in 18s when she got a raise. It says right here, I'm looking black and white, folks. So, I mean, I don't know where it's coming from, but that's black and white printout.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those values that I've got that I gave you.
Yeah.
If there was a raise in between there, then I didn't know about that. So I can't say
you
that her last
him.
Raise
okay.
was back in correct. And I do believe she did get a raise.
Yeah, because I got $11,518. She got $18. So.
What?
Yeah, she got $18 back then. Yeah. And then and back in 19s when Kathy got hers, she went from 13 to 15, to 14. Mm. Yeah.
I would like to make a motion that we raise Lori up to at least 20 to... Okay.
How much was that, Becky?
Move it up to 20.
Move her
we need
up
a
to
second.
$20.
I second that.
It's been moved in second. Pardon me?
No, that's a federal tax credit.
Yeah. That's not hers.
No, the 500, as Karen Foote explained, is the ACA tax credit.
We will be paying approximately 500 for Lori.
Over that. Right. But that's for insurance, not.
We were paying $1,100 for Lori's insurance. Now it's going to be $500, Mark, and
yeah.
Uncle Sam $500.
So we got a motion on the floor for $20 for Lori. Is there any other comment from the trustees?
I think I'm under the impression that even though they both haven't been back here for. About a year, but they had been here for several years prior to that. They just left for a period of time or something.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, they work harder than what you all think. I had no idea how much work those girls do until I was in the office here. My job, I've tried to help them, is by doing all the complaints. So that gives them where they can get the paperwork done that they need to get done. Lori's been off sick, so is Kathy, and they have been working their tail off trying playing catch up. And they need people just don't realize the cat remarks. People come at the window and say to them how rude they are to them, and they're supposed to be nice about it. Carol can tell you. She was in the office. Karen can tell you. She's heard them how they treat her. These people are servants for us. I mean, we don't deserve to mistreat them, and they're mistreated so much by people. And I do apologize every day to them for it. And I can't change people's attitudes. That is totally impossible. But I do hope that when and they come to the window, give them a smile and say, hey, you did a nice job today, or I appreciate everything you're doing. Once in a while, just once in a while. So, but yeah, we're back down to what we're going to do with that $20. Yes, ma'am.
Patty Peck, 1014 Willow. All right. So you're also then talking about an annual review and maybe a raise at that time. And then a 3% raise in October as well, on top of this raise that you're doing now.
It's hard to tell.
That's what I'm asking.
No.
Well, you're putting in the budget that they will get 3% in October.
So.
Good point.
And you're doing the annual review. So, and normally there is a raise at that point. So how high are we going to go?
The annual review, whatever they get at that time, does not go into effect until October.
We've given them the merit or whatever increases mid-year in the past, depending on the review. And then the 3% increase in October.
If we give them a raise now, then I do not believe we should give them another raise in October.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that, you know, this is clear to you and to us how much we're actually giving as a raise.
And whatever this is, I will reflect that in the budget.
Thank you.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now
we're back to that $20.
On that particular point, I think we have to make that known right up front with these people that this is what they're going to get. There is not going to be a 3%.
Correct.
All right.
I don't think they would expect it when they get it now.
But make it clear. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to make it clear.
Everybody in favor of the $20 to Lori. Raise your hand.
Do we have a motion in a second?
Hmm? Yes.
Who made the motion?
I did.
I seconded it.
Yeah.
Becky
and Becky
motioned it.
Yeah. And you seconded it.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yes, we all. Yeah. It was good. Motion carried. Very nice. Thinking of them.
Very nice
boy. I appreciate everybody for doing that for these people. They're hard workers. Pardon me? I know I heard something.
Right.
Okay.
HPPOA.
Yeah. All right.
Kathy's not
full-time. No.
No, I don't think Kathy's full-time. She leaves early. Okay. How about the H? Are we ready for HPPOA?
Good job. Hi, Pam Hefferman, 326 Holiday Park. Okay, we are doing activities over the summer. Depending on the response to these activities. There's bocce on Tuesday mornings. There's card making on Wednesdays. There's line dancing on Mondays. Mary had made up a weekly calendar type thing, and it has a list of all activities. But just check with somebody that you know goes to these activities, because as the case happened to Liz today, she came up here to play Pony Canaster and nobody was here. So it's scheduled, but only if people show up. Same with darts and ladies' pool. There hasn't been a big response for it. There will be karaoke, but it has been canceled for this Saturday night. So it's not going to start until June. There in the back of Mary's weekly calendar, there is an events going on over the summer, like the ladies' luncheons, the karaoke, the socials, all the stuff that goes on over the summer besides the daily stuff. So she made copies of it. It's out in the alcove. Anybody needs. It's on Facebook. It's on the bulletin board. It's all over the place. And it'll be on the marquee.
I was just going to say
that. Okay.
Okay. Appreciate that. Okay. Anyone out there like to say anything? One, two, three. Wait a minute.
Wayne Adams, 1143 Greenview Court. The one thing I want to say is that I'm tired of everybody asking my wife how to run this board. I'm tired of it. If you do not know how to run this board, you need to get the hell off. You call her every day asking her questions. I'm tired of it. She's got a lot of knowledge, let me tell you. She's got a lot of knowledge. But you guys use her, and I don't like that. So if you're going to still use her, then I'm going to get upset. And you don't want me to get upset. Thank you.
And she's hiding her face from me. Okay. To whom it may concern, I am a retired professional painter. I would like to volunteer to paint the tables in the pool area to match the umbrellas. If you think this is something the park would be interested in, please let me know. The park would provide the paint, and I would volunteer my services to make our pool area look nice. And this is Louie, and he's out there. I don't know if anybody would be interested. I think it would be neat. It would brighten up the pool area.
Will paint stay on the tables?
If you get the right paint.
Okay.
So. Yes. Okay, the tables that doesn't have umbrellas, she says he's going to use a different type or a different color on the tables. Yes, sir.
Wayne Adams, 1143 Greenville. I have to ask this question because it just boggles my mind. But if I'm correct, isn't Bruce Crabb a resident of this park?
Yes.
So
is Bruce Crabb on the trustee board? Is he on any type of board whatsoever? Yeah. What gives him the right to go in that office like he owns it?
I never go in unless I'm asked.
You go in that office like you own it. Don't say you don't, because I see it with my own eyes. And for him to just be a resident and walk in that office the way he does and go through files the way he does, that's not right. He needs to stay the hell out of that office.
Oh, let's go home.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Excuse me, Mr. Adams. I never walk in that office unless I ask Lori or the chairman of the board or previously Cherie. And I have also been on three different committees I'm working on. We were in the office the other day on the computer buying the damn tax certificates. You know what? I don't need this crap, really.
That's enough. You made your remarks. Okay. Trustees, anything you would like to say, Kathy?
Yeah, I would like to say something. I love this park, and I like all you guys here. And I think that we can all get along and make this work. Okay? I guess we use your wife, I'm thinking. I mean, I haven't called her yet, but because she is very knowledgeable, and we want to run this park like it should be run, you know, because, yeah. So I guess I'm saying we use her because she can give us good advice and we can get things done in this park. Because I think for quite a few months, that we've all been fighting and arguing and not getting anything done. Now, since I've been on the board, I have really not much to say yet, but I think we've accomplished a lot. Okay. Right. We've all got a new board. We're all doing what we think we should do. And I think if somebody can help us, we're going to take that help from them, so we know what we're supposed to be doing. So let's all get along, you guys. Let's all work together. Let's make this work, and let's make this a good park.
Thank you. Dave. Dave.
Why?
Do you have anything you want to say?
Oh, well, contrary to popular belief, I do believe that Bruce spends an inordinate amount of time in that office. And I appreciate everything that he does, and he does it in goodwill. But I've also seen that office come to a screeching halt when he's in there. I've been here 3.5 years, and Bruce, I think you're a good guy. Business is business. Got to back off that office a little bit. I mean, these girls, you don't hear it. I do. They, when Bruce is in the office, nothing gets done. Yes, I'm serious.
It's funny, they call me several times a week.
I understand that. But I'm just, I'm making a point. It's not a personal point. I'm passing it on. This is what I'm hearing. I hate to say it, but it does. I've seen it. I've seen it come right down to a screeching halt.
Why?
Because you're in there. You're in there doing stuff, making copies and everything else that these girls should be doing. You tell them how to run the copier, on and on and on. I mean, I'll get the girls to write me a letter if that's what it needs. All I'm asking is back off a little bit out of there and let them learn their jobs and do it.
Gary, you got anything?
Yeah. Since April 11th, not in any consistent way, there has been an obvious and it almost seems manipulative delivery of the mail to the trustees' mailboxes. Let me give you a couple of examples. There was a correspondence from the park attorney Bone on April 28th. It showed up in my mailbox and the other trustees' mailboxes 8 days later on the 6th of May. It was important. It was relative to a hearing that was canceled. It would have been helpful to know the information and the guidance he was giving us because it was intended for the park. And it was an outline, basically, of how he thought the hearing should be conducted. Then there were two more, maybe three, issued on May 2nd. It does not take 4 days and 8 days to get it from the copy machine to my mailbox or any other trustee's mailbox. It was an obvious delay in the delivery and slipping it into our mailboxes. When I got them all at once on the 6th, I was a little taken back by it. And I felt it was a deliberate manipulation of the normal delivery from the copy machine into our mailboxes. Keith's resignation letter took 13 days to make it to my mailbox. I got it today. Didn't really matter, but this delays from the copy machine to our trustee mailboxes has to stop because it can affect our ability to prepare for things and actually make it more difficult. It can also, because one of them was a guidance by Attorney Bone on ex parte communications written, put into the office. I think two or three of them are mine. One of them is another trustee's, and one of them is actually Keith's. I understand that it's been looked at by someone like it's a Sunshine Law violation that I put in the letter that Bruce in public taught me I needed to do. You have to put it in writing. I didn't do that, so I had to go in writing with it. It wasn't in detail enough. It was forwarded to the park attorney. I got the message back from my chair. Gary, you got to be specific with details on this request for hearing. I did. It took a few hours, but I got it back. So that was the second letter. 4 days later, after reading it over the weekend, I saw a couple typos. I'm like, darn, let me correct this. Look stupid. Pluralization, basically, but So I put that in. In the meantime, another trustee put in a letter 2 days after the correspondence came from the park attorney instructing us not to be communicating. Now, I knew I needed to request a hearing. I also got, I have never gotten an email from our current chair. Diane Bell sent the board an email on the chair's behalf. The chair has told me she does not do email. I think that limits her ability to be the chair. If you can't communicate in a documented form, which emails provides, you can't be the chair. Phone calls to me at night, three of them accidentally, she didn't mean to call me, but one of them requested I write a letter requesting a special meeting to address the Keith issue at 10:30 at night. When I let her know I had done my own at 3:30 in that afternoon, she considered that all hell had broken loose because she took a day off from the office. I said, well, okay, I'll come see you in the morning. You can read what I've written, but I've done it because Bruce taught me in public that that's what I had to do. So I did it, but I was nonspecific and I used mild language. When asked to be specific with the charges or whatever, I got specific. I went from inappropriately to malfeasance in my choice of words. There is no way that anybody should be delaying the mail to the trustees. This letter that was read tonight came in Wednesday, the 18th, by electronics, certified letter. It says right on it. She said she got it today.
I received it this morning.
It was received.
It was registered
last week.
And I received
last week, not today. It was received in the office. So if somebody's delaying delivery of an important letter, a legal communication from the former DM's attorney, there's no way our chair shouldn't get it till today, 6 days later. It did show up in the office on the 18th, as it is stamped right on the letter. And it had been forwarded to the attorney. I don't know the exact date of that. I didn't ask. I didn't know it existed. But as soon as I saw it tonight, I know, I see, I can read a date. The date was the 18th. I got it 5 minutes before this meeting. I don't know that that was proper. I'm not saying it wasn't. It is just absolutely wrong that anything get delayed. We're not talking round the world U.S. Postal Service. We're talking from the copy machine to our mailboxes 8 to 10 feet away. This has to stop. It looks very suspicious. It looks manipulative. It allowed two more communications to come in, but not from me. Because the communication from our attorney saying, no, there shouldn't be ex parte communications. And we could have cleared it up because he also said, as long as you clear it up in the beginning of the meeting and disclose it, it'll be okay. State statute says you must disclose it prior to a vote on the issue and it should not be considered prejudicial to the receivers or the senders of those communications. I haven't heard about the written complaint by a former trustee involving me and another trustee. I know for a fact hers wouldn't have got put in. We don't tell the office staff who to distribute it to, but the normal procedure is here, give this to the board. If the whole board isn't supposed to get it, that's not necessarily my call. I just turn it in. I'm not going to say, give this to this person and that person. And there has been staggered deliveries because I know when another trustee asks me if I've got something and I haven't, but they have. And then a week later, I get it. That's manipulative delivery of important legal communication to me on this board. We have an acting DM. We have a trustee and who's taken over as chair. And I don't know who's responsible here, but this has got to stop. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks until we address that letter that was read. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be delayed by communications. I don't know if it's going to leave me ill-prepared. I don't know what the attorney's position is on this. He's supposed to be representing the park. I'm part of the board. There's a two-prong accusation in that letter, as you might have seen. One is the park and one is me. If the park settles, everything's dropped. And yet I may need to protect myself. I don't know if he's going to do me any good as a trustee. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to be left hanging out to dry because he's going to do that. I'll get my own attorney. And trust me, this ain't going to fly. But manipulation of the delivery of our important mail, especially legal communication from our park attorney to us trustees, has to stop now. There better never be another instance of it. I'm just saying. And I'm way over my 3 minutes.
Point of view on this? I'll give you the floor. No communication with Cherie Morris. None. On the board or otherwise. This is what's going on here. You people haven't got the whole story yet, but I'm guessing it's a blackmail scheme to get us to pay off. And she just, yeah.
Yes.
If I hear that someone has talked to Cherie Morris from this meeting on, I will call the attorney myself and I will bring it up. That's all I got. Thank you.
No one from this board should have communicated with her since April 11th when she was escorted out of here. They're compromising the park's ability to conduct business. They're putting trustees at risk. And I'm being gone. She's coming after me. And I got to defend myself. And she's going to wish the hell she never did this. The office phone records.
Yeah.
Well, if the office phone has been calling her numbers, and she must have a different one because she used to have a park number. She probably has her own private one. That can be determined. And it might need to be part of the forensic audit if it's not outside their realm of investigation. I don't know. But phone records, the phone records from this are public records. Any of us can ask for them. If we start seeing numbers, if we see it since April 11th, calling her, there's a problem. I know she called our admin assistant, mentioned my name, mentioned her name. Well, she talked to her and told us. The message was, you better watch it. You better be careful. Lori and me. Lori had nothing to do with Cherie's termination. Nothing. She did, but the day after the termination, Lori was rather distraught. I spoke with her in the parking lot in private, which is where she wanted to tell me as she got in her car. Gary, I got this phone call from Cherie. She described it to her husband, who felt it was a threat. Well, she's not going after Lori, apparently, although she did tell her, you better watch yourself, you better be careful, and that Gary Vincent, while we were mentioned in one sentence. Go ahead, Ursula.
Thank you. Okay, Mrs. Chairwoman. Okay, I wanted to say, I'm looking at this letter. It was mailed electronically on the 18th. So that means by email or whatever, electronically on the 18th, and then they mailed it certified, what you would have gotten today if it was mailed on the 18th. But it should have been on somebody's computer because it says via electronic, number one. Number two, if they have so much darn evidence, why are they offering to settle this? So I think this and all is a crock.
wants $40,000.
But we should not be discussing any of this at all. It should stop right now.
Yeah. Mark.
What do you need to tell us then?
Mark.
I agree this should not be being discussed. However, I would hope that any communication between the attorney and the board is in written form and public.
Like I said on my thing, I sent the papers as soon as I got it today. Well, I should say Lori did. To the attorney. Now, I will probably hear from him tomorrow, maybe the next day, but I don't know what he's planned, but I know he's for us. So he's going to defend Gary. And I mean, that is his job. So he's going to do that.
I hope to hear from him. I want to give a deposition and I want to take a lie detector test. I want to help him to have the best case to fight this off on humanly possible.
So, you know, I can't do anything more than that. I just wanted to make sure that everything was legally done the way it should have been done. So,
Joan, did you have anything?
I do. I've heard over many, many times over the years that residents cannot receive compensation for performing work in the park, and that we also cannot hire talent from within the park for dances or park shows because we can't pay them. Now, I've read and reread the bylaws and the rules and regs, and I can't find that anywhere. And I put out a notice a week or so ago, hoping that if it was true, that somebody would show me where it is.
Number one, the park is a residential property. So there should be no business in here giving services to anybody.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, there are people that do that.
Well, this is strictly residential.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I mean, we tried to hire a band from within the park and we're told, I mean, we've got a lot of talented people in here.
That is a bylaw or whatever from HPPOA.
Can you put a copy of that in my box for me, please?
It's in your bylaws, the HPPOA bylaws.
HPPOA bylaws.
Now, does that affect people that, you know, like if somebody wants to help build something or help with the striping on the roads, does that affect that?
Those, as far as the volunteers throughout the park, we were always told that we should not use volunteers from the park because of insurance.
So you're saying that we can't pay residents?
We have residents on payroll. We have a guard up at the guard shack right now. I think there's two of them that live in the park and they work for the park.
So if somebody does want to help out with something, they'd have to go on payroll.
I don't know whether it has to be on a job basis or whether it would have to be on payroll, one or the, but they can work in the park
and get paid.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Okay, so then Louis, who wants to paint these tables, would get paid?
No, he said he's volunteering.
Oh, he was volunteering?
Yeah, he volunteered. Oh. He just wants to do it.
Oh, okay.
So did everybody like the idea of him doing the tables? Everybody favor?
Say aye.
Please, or raise your hand.
Did we make a motion?
I don't know, but
Louis made a motion. Anybody oppose?
Okay, let me make a motion. I'll make a motion that we use Louis to paint the tables around the pool.
Okay, second?
I'll second it.
Kathy seconded it? Okay. It's been moved in second that Louis's going to get to paint our tables, and he'll be tickled to death. And everybody, again, raise your hand. Support? Opposed? Same. Motion carried. Louie, you will love to paint the table. Okay, right. I would like to know if anybody would like to adjourn.
Yes.
Sorry.
Jennifer Wright, 1270 Joy Court. I'm confused. I thought you just said that residents couldn't volunteer and do stuff. I don't know who Louie is. I don't have anything against Louie. Anybody, I don't know him.
You can volunteer to do things. But what they were talking about was being paid.
No, Becky just said that we don't like volunteers because they're not licensed.
We are volunteers. The HPPOA people are volunteers. HPPOA officers are volunteers. The trustee boards are volunteers. But we don't actually work where there's any chance of having insurance. We as a board are bonded. I don't know. I don't think HPPOA has any bond left. But you're covered under the park insurance.
I understand about the boards that we're all volunteers for the boards, but he's going to be doing a physical activity. Yeah. I mean, I don't care if we let him do it or not. I'm just curious that one minute you say we can't, and then you say we can. I'm confused.
He's just a volunteer. He just wants to volunteer to do it. He's a professional painter. So this is what is very nice of him to do.
So, I think that's very nice, but I'm still confused. But maybe that's just me. That's okay.
It did come up in the bridge demo option. And Keith pointed out that volunteers wouldn't be covered. If somebody got hurt, we should use staff or hire somebody. We stayed away from volunteers because of the chance of injury in that particular case.
Okay, dear.
If he's going to be doing this now, he's volunteering just his service, his labor.
Right.
We're having to pay for the paint. That paint is very expensive. I just painted my driveway and it was $500 for 5 gallons of paint because you have to special kind of paint for cement.
I think he said the paint is already here. All he has to do is put a tint in it.
Somebody, where do we get the paint from?
I don't know.
That would be something I would want to look into before I get any further because it could become an expensive project.
Jose, I think, said we had paint in there. That they had to put color into.
Okay. I'm just saying because that stuff's expensive and cement has to be treated with like an acid wash so that it holds the paint. So there is an expense to it. So before you go any further, you might want to check on what it might cost.
Anyway, it was very nice. Y'all, thank you for coming. Have a good evening.
I move that we adjourn.
Yes. Second.
Third.
It's been moved and second. We adjourn, everybody. Goodbye.
I have no idea who made the motion on the second.
Yeah, and then she's going to drop everything. No, I appreciate that. You've been around a long time. Bruce, I will hear from the park attorney. I don't know. I just know you've been around a few things. Oh, yeah.